Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Jehoshua. Praise to God. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name.
Welcome. Today is the conclusion of the message that I began a day or two ago. This is a prophecy that is 3.5 years old from June the 20th, 2019, and it's called Cornucopia, but this part is separate. The first two parts that were covered were looking at God showing a behind-the-scenes look at how fivefold ministers, this is apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors, how they actually live behind the scenes, the amount of wealth, influence, and money that God naturally would grant these people by reason of raising them up, but then how that power behind the scenes has become gluttonous, it has become decadent, it has become severely abusive, and as this particular portion of the prophecy will show, it has become laced with sexual immorality. So just the fact that this prophecy is 3.5 years, it goes to show the length of time that God gives people grace. June 20th, 2019, up to now, is a very long time. And also, if we look at the multiple prophecies that I brought a few months ago against false prophets, you can really see how merciful God is and how long he bears with his people. Those false prophecy posts, God started giving me those things in 2014. So it was in 2014 that God started naming people like Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, and other people like that, and saying that he was going to observe them over a 10-year period because they had already began to walk in unfaithful stewardship. And if they had not cleaned up their act in 10 years, he was going to judge them, and it was going to be the harsh judgment of death. The Lord was speaking about Benny Hinn this morning, speaking about Creflo Dollar, speaking about Joyce Meyer, and saying that he is extremely angry with these people, and he is certainly going to judge them with the judgment of death. Those things have already been covered. So here we are looking at things that when the Lord showed them to me, I must say, I was quite taken aback. Cornucopia profanity, June 20th, 2019. For the Lord is great and certainly worthy of praise. He is more awesome than all the gods. Psalm 96 and verse 4. And so to be profane in God's sight means that you have fallen away from everything holy. Profanity itself, as we know, the word profanity is just to use filthy language, uncouth language, dirty language. Profanity is something that defiles and is defiling in itself. So when you listen to profanity, when you look at profane images in pornography and in the movies and things like that, it is defiling to your eyes. It is defiling to your vessel. However, when profanity is coming out of someone, it defiles that person and it defiles the one that it contacts. And so this is something that God hates because God has given us our bodies as our homes, as our vessels. It is the container for our souls and our spirits, but our bodies serve an even more important purpose. This body is the temple that the Holy Spirit longs to have communion with, that the Holy Spirit longs to indwell. The Lord Jesus said that he would come to the door and he would knock, and if any of us would hear the door and open the door, he would come in to where? This house, this vessel, and he would dwell with us. But when there is profanity among the leaders of the church, that profanity, as I've just described, transfers to the people. And pretty soon you will find that whenever a pastor is involved in fornication, involved in adultery, those spirits are not limited to him. This is something that I really wish that people would understand as they listen to these videos and just as they go about their normal Christian lives. This sin you indulge in affects those around you, even if they don't know that you are in sin. It affects your partner when you're having adultery. You think that because you're sleeping with someone else and your partner doesn't know about it, the spirits and the demons involved in that sexual immorality, involved in the evil and the wicked act of betrayal, they are tearing at the fabric of that marriage, even if your wife doesn't know, Even if your husband doesn't know, if you are a child on drugs, you are bringing in very strong demons that go along with the weed or the other things or the crystal meth or whatever it is that you are using. You may think that you are hiding an infraction, but in fact, you are putting all the people who are linked to you by blood in danger, and you are putting yourself in danger. And this is why profanity is so defiling. It is defiling to the vessel that houses it. It is defiling to the vessel that it comes in contact with. And so when we defile ourselves and we are sexually immoral, we are telling God, I don't want you here. I don't actually want you in this vessel. I want to do certain things that don't involve your presence, that don't involve your influence. I want a life apart from you. And this is why the Bible says that out of all the sins, every other sin is committed outside the body. But sexually immoral sins are committed against this vessel directly. And we also sin directly against the Lord. And so this is the last part of the vision that I saw. I was in that majestic hall, and I had said that I had seen thrones, and 2/3 of the thrones were in the first part of the vision empty. And then as time progressed, the Lord showed me the vision again on the second day, and this time the thrones were full, and 1/3 of the thrones were still empty, as in they were for end times ministers that had not yet arisen to take their place. But now I can share things that I alluded to. I was in this hall, and people were sitting on these thrones, and these people were doing seriously debauched things. I've already gone into those things in excruciating detail, both for myself and for the listener, over the last 3 months in June, July, and August. Those were very difficult months because those prophecies concerning sodomy in the church, homosexuality in the church, pedophilia in the church, what the leaders are doing, what the members are doing, It was just devastating to hear the Lord sharing his heart on those things, and I did my best to be as accurate with them as possible. But I saw fivefold leaders that the Holy Spirit had put in front of me, pastors, prophets, teachers, apostles, evangelists, and they were in different stages of nakedness and committing fornication, perversion, and adultery on these thrones that they were sitting in. And I mentioned that Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar were two that I saw. These are married ministers, and yet these are two ministers that I saw when other people were doing this stuff. Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar still had their clothes on. So I saw married ministers that were caught up with women and with men who were definitely not their spouses. And I saw people who were sitting on the thrones, and they were all wearing these robes, and some of the robes were just thrown open, and people were just doing oral sex on them. So they had these acolytes that were kneeling and just performing acts on them, and they were just leaning back. And it really did look like these people who were doing this to the people who were seated, it looked like they were, excuse me, please, it looked like they were praying to them. And it was just quite a negative sight to see. And God had put privacy dots on the faces of the people. So it's not as if the acts that they were committing were hidden from my eyes. There were dots on the faces of the ministers and dots on the faces of the people who were doing this. And sometimes it was men doing this to men, and sometimes it was women doing this to women, and sometimes it was a man with a woman or a woman with a man. And they were actually, some of them, committing fornication on the throne, same-sex fornication and opposite-sex fornication. And they were doing this. Please understand that the throne represents the seat of leadership that God has given you. God has made you a prophet. God has made you an apostle, an evangelist. These are fivefold ministry offices that are dear to the Lord's heart. Why? Because they are the visible expression, human gifts given to the Lord's body to steward his people, to build them up in his truth for the edification of the saints, which I already explained is to take the saints through rigorous crash dummy testing until they become strengthened. Why? Because the end of the life of every saint, unless you are taken out of here by an early death, is to go through the testing required of the end times before the coming of the Lord. And so when you are defiling yourself directly on this seat, which you did not call yourself to this office, you were called. The Lord said to Jeremiah that before I called you, I knew you. I knew you in your mother's womb, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This means that you do not even choose the calling that you have. You do not choose the gifts and the anointing that you have. They are divinely appointed to you. And when you are sitting in that seat, you are to treat it with the utmost reverence and respect, because the way you handle yourself in ministry is a direct reflection of respect and honor that you are giving to God. So to be fornicating while you are seated on that throne, same-sex fornication, no less, it is not a joke. And my heart, I really felt my heart turn to water and just drain as I was watching all this, because the Lord was right by me. His presence was right by me observing this. And he said, these people are enriching themselves at the expense of my people. They are literally calling forth the wealth of the nations in my name, but they have not worked for it. Now, calling forth the wealth of the nations is definitely this stuff that TBN is famous for, just saying, oh, no, the lines are open, the lines are open. Call in right now, you know, and just pledge your seed and pledge your gift. This is what it means. And people from all over the world are given an opportunity to sow into what they think, what they thought is a pristine ministry, a clean ministry, only to find that it is not. It is a defiled altar. The things that those people do there, it is beyond the pale. It is a mixing of the profane, the arcane relating to witchcraft and other things of that nature. And so people have put their seed on the defiled altar because these ministers call forth the wealth of the nations in the name of God, and yet the Lord says they have not worked for this. They are baseless shepherds who reap where they have not sown, and they milk my people just as surely as a farmer takes milk from the udders of his cows. And then the Lord says, look, they are even using the women for natural and unnatural use. And then I saw something which at this time of prophecy, this was the kind of thing that God was not in the habit of really showing me. I saw a man who was wearing a church robe. It was a black church robe with the usual church trimming. So, you know, the black robe, and then it will have purple here and purple at the sleeve with a very big, you know, and then purple running down both sides. This man had called a member of his church to come to church very early. So this woman was in the church, and I saw the clock, and the clock was, let's just say, a little bit before 6. And he had told this woman to come because he wanted to work out last-minute changes with her for the service that day. So it was a Sunday, and this man called the woman to the altar, and then he bent her over, and he sodomized her, and this woman was crying as this man was doing this to her, and he was doing it upon the place where the pulpit sits. And after he finished it, he walked away, and God was showing me by the man's demeanor, by his face and what was in his heart, his sheer arrogance. He was doing this to this sister in the church just because he could. So I don't know what kind of power trip this man was doing on this woman. I don't know what kind of hold he had over her that she would have not reported it or said anything, but she was weeping as this man did this to her. And then when he was finished, he was so dismissive. He just hung his robe back and walked away. And as I was seeing in these visions of this prophecy, all these ministers were depicted as naked under their robes. So the only clothing they had, these ones in fornication, because Joyce Meyer was wearing a suit, for instance, Creflo Dollar was wearing a suit, so they were fully clothed. But these ministers involved in sexual immorality, they were all wearing robes, and none of them had any human covering underneath, which just goes to show that for many of these people, please listen, the sexual immorality that they are committing, the only reason you don't know about it is because God continues to cover them with the robe of his calling. The only reason it has not hit the press for many of them is because the cup of their judgment is not yet full, and God has still the office that they are in still covers them. If you want a biblical example for that, think of how Saul was rejected by God, and yet Saul ruled for many, many, many years, chasing David around, persecuting him, still running Israel. Nobody knew except David and those serving David, and Samuel, because Samuel was the one who told Saul, the Lord has rejected you this day, and he has torn the kingdom away from you and given it to one better than you. Nobody actually knew that God had cast Saul off. Saul was still walking around in the office and the mantle of a king, and yet he was not God's king. America, I hope you are listening. I hope you hear that there is precedent in the scripture for a person to be worshipped and loved by someone because of the office, and yet that person is defiled and rejected in the eyes of God. That person is not God's man. He is your man, and you are fooled by the fact that he held an office at one time, and so you think he is God's choice, and yet God continues to say repeatedly to me, and I will hammer the point home until you accept it, that that person that you are lifting up like a god towards the heaven is not God's man. He was never God's man. It was simply the covering of an office that gave the appearance that he was God's, but he was never the Lord's, because the Lord does not choose defiled things to use to represent himself. God is pure, holy, blameless, and that is what he looks for in leaders. So a lot of these people's sins, it simply has not come out yet, because the office has a type of spiritual covering in it. And as long as you sit in it, you can get away with a pile of junk and demonic activity until the day that God rips it forth. And that is when your total nakedness will be observed by the people who thought that you were faultless and blameless. So this man had brought this woman into the church early, and he abused her. And by the time he finished, I looked and the clock said 7 a.m. And it was now 3 hours that that lady had to put herself together. And she was, it was one of those churches where they still put programs on the seats for the parishioners, the people who will come to church. And so she had that 3 hours until 10 a.m. to compose herself. And this man was in the habit of doing it to this woman. And God was showing me it's because he had power to do it. And then the Lord said, they exchange the natural use of the woman for unnatural. They exchange also the natural use of females for what is abomination among themselves. I hate the ones who do this, and I will not show them mercy if they do not repent. So exchanging the natural use of the woman is not sleeping with the woman in the place that God has provided her to receive seed and bring forth children, if that is the time for it. It is the practice of sodomy, anal sex. I already covered this, and I'm not going to go into depth of it at all. It is a reprehensible practice, and yet it is one of the fastest growing sexual practices in the Western world and everywhere else. I even wrote that during the things that God was showing me, doctors are beginning to complain about how many women in America are going to them for treatment because of what is called rectal tearing. Your daughters, your young daughters, God said that women in this country, the young and the older, the married and the single, are indulging this practice because this practice is seen as cutting edge. This is now the new avant-garde sexual act. It's where you venture when you really want the man to know that you are risque and wild and up for anything. And so even married people are indulging this, and God said it's unnatural, and this is mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 1. I think it is in verse 18. You really need to go and look at that. If you are caught in this thing, it is time to repent of it. Whether you are married or not, it is abomination before God, and you will be judged for it if you continue. And then God also said that the men are done with using women, and they are committing abomination among themselves. And then I saw two men who, they were wearing church robes, but these robes were white, same robe with the big sleeves, and it had gold here and gold around the neck and two gold rods running down. And they were completely naked under their robes, kissing and touching one another and slipping their hands underneath the robe to touch one another privately under there. And they were giggling, and then God just removed me from that place. And then he said, next, they exchange the natural use. Natural use is adults in sexual activity. He said they leave that and they begin to do what is unnatural among children. And then I saw little children who were wearing choir robes in a very long line on a bench, a long line of children wearing choir robes, and all of the children were crying. And the Lord didn't say anything more about this, but when it's time for me to go into the child prophecies, and I've also covered quite extensively how children are being raped and molested. This year, in I think it was May 2022, the Southern Baptist Convention was forced to bring out a long list of no less than 700 known offenders that they had been covering over the past 15 years. 700 pastors in documented cases of either raping or sexually molesting female adults, male adults, and a preponderance, meaning a large number of children in their churches. And instead of taking these things to the cops, the majority of them were dealt with by the church. And by dealt with, I mean going to sit at the victim's house, you, Deacon Brown, and Sister Pemberton, and talk to the victim and say, you know, the Bible says that it is an evil thing to take these matters to the unbelievers, and we should adjudicate these things within the church. And anyway, the church will crumble if the pastor is exposed. And anyway, he's seriously remorseful, and we hope you and your child can find it in your heart to forgive them. And this is how the church, like a donkey or a dog covering over its mess, kicks its back legs and covers all these reprehensible crimes instead of putting them into the hands of the authority so that the proper chain of events, the proper chain of authority can bring about some peace for these victims and justice for these pedophiles in the church, that the majority of you out there, I am not talking to true Christians, I am talking to the false tares who think they are Christians but love to support sin, sympathize with sin, pray for the deviants among us, and reject the testimony of the witnesses, reject the testimony of the victims, silence the victims, shame the victims, and tell them that they're trying to get a money grab. The church itself is reprehensible in many things. There's severe abuse of children, severe abuse of female and male members. But for the sake of ego and for the sake of perpetrating and propping up a rotting edifice, these pastors have been getting away with these things. And God says all of this is exchanging of the natural for the unnatural. God is acknowledging that even he has a natural order and his church seems to hate that order. The Lord says that they exchange when they should be praying and fasting and begin to do what is not natural. Opulence, greed, and fattening themselves. And I saw the word turning in the air again, cornucopia. These people perform sexual acts before me, in my very presence. They do these things as if I cannot see or hear. I even hear how they muse in their heart before a thing is done, my child. God means that when you are sitting in church and the pastor is lusting over you and trying to come up with a fake Bible study that he wants to tell your mother to bring you for so he can start grooming you, God says that he sees the footsteps of these men and women who commit perversions in his face. Sometimes on his altar as if he can't see or hear. He says he sees the plottings of their heart before they do anything. He says some of them defile themselves by the altar, next to the altar, maybe in the choir stand or maybe wherever else. And he says some of them do it on the altar because they do not hallow me. They do not fear me. And their hearts are like the back of a turtle. I cannot reach them, and so I will remove them from my sight. I will cast them from my presence, some into obscurity, but some of them into a horrible pit. They have defiled me. Again, profanity. The one who commits profanity defiles themselves, but defiles others connected to themselves. And Jesus is saying, when you come into covenant with me, you are mine and I become yours. And the sins you commit defile me. They defile me, so I will reject them. And I will make for myself new scribes. This is new servants. Faithful scribes. Who will hallow me? This is have the fear of the Lord and be respectful and hallow God. It means to set him apart from all others in your heart. They will hallow me and they will portray me the right way to the people. And so I saw that some ministers had already died because of fornication and sexual sins. And I saw one throne that was empty. This was a previously occupied throne that was now empty. And the name written above that throne was Zachary Timms. And as I looked at that throne, I could feel that there had once been vibrant life in it, but now the throne felt as if it had been strongly vacuumed. And the presence and the life of the man who had sat there was gone. And now the seat was still and empty. And I saw another throne in that room that was empty. Please understand that the empty seats will be taken by new ministers. But that minister had not sinned because of sexuality. And I saw that just like T.D. Jakes, God had really loved this man. But the Lord told me, and this is a direct quote, that his cause of death was because he grasped the horns of the altar incorrectly and God struck him for this. And that was Minister Miles Monroe. To grasp the horns of the altar incorrectly simply means that you will see all the ordinances of God, you will see the laws of God, the rules of God, how God wants things to go, and then you will let go of holding on to God's presence, God's words, God's calling, God's anointing, and you will let go and begin to approach God's things with perversion, with leaven. God struck Miles Monroe because he leavened the gospel. He began to preach a false gospel, blatantly telling lies in the gospel, and that is why the Lord let him go. And a light was shining on his throne, so there was no light on Zachary Timms' throne. Zachary Timms' throne was exactly as if, you know when something is lit and then someone just comes and goes, click, you can see the shape of the thing there, but it's not lit up. But the throne of Miles Monroe had a little light shining on it, and it had a hushed demeanor about it, the way you would preserve the grave of a loved one that you really, really like. And then I saw the thrones of the people who were fornicating, that their thrones were actually alive because they were living and still sitting on them. The thrones of Pastor Zachary Timms and Minister Miles Monroe, they were dead. But the thrones that had living people sitting on them fornicating, the thrones themselves were alive, but the thrones were actively decaying. So I saw them. They were beautiful, as I described in the first video. They were beautiful and alive, but at the same time, they were decaying and rotten, stinking, spiritually rotten. And that is it. And so God was showing me the state of leadership in the church today. He was showing me the state of how things are for our reproof, that we, the church, we those who are not these leaders, not these fivefold, that we will look and we will draw a lesson from the way these people are bastardizing their call before God. There's no other way to put it, because God says that he chastises every son that he loves, but if you will not submit to godly discipline, which means that if you are in fornication, perversion, homosexuality as a minister or even as a member of the church, and you still think that you can walk in these things, it means that you are not submitting yourself to the truth of God's word, which means that God cannot discipline you because you are like a donkey that wants to walk in your own way. And that means that you are a bastard. Who is a bastard? One to whom we do not know the father. This is the old term for a child whose fatherly origin was not known. And this is what the KJV says, that if God cannot discipline you, if he cannot chastise you and correct you as a son, then you are a bastard, one without a father, meaning that God is not your father. And we all know if God is not your father, no matter what you say as an atheist or as a seeker or as a Baha'i or anything else you want to call yourself, it means you are without God as the Father, and that only leaves one other choice, Satan. And so, a large house carries not only gold and silver vessels, but also wooden and clay ones. Some of these vessels are kept for special use, but others are for common use. If anyone cleanses himself from what is unfit, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions. pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 to 22. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5 and 24. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, for this amounts to idolatry. Colossians 3 and 5. Thank you for being with me. This is the state of the church. This is the state of God's house. It needs to be said. Remember that I said that because of covering over the dirt in our midst and constantly making excuse for wickedness by talking about, oh, but let's pray for them to be restored. Oh, but let's cover them in prayer. I personally am sitting here and I'm telling you that I'm not covering anyone with nothing. Whoever the Lord has condemned, I'm not going above his head to tell him, Lord, let's give it one more shot. And that includes America. That includes the United States of America, whom God condemns, whom God has said enough, no more. I, for one, will not be found trying to dart around him like someone trying to cut someone off on the highway and say, oh, but I know better than God. I know better than God. Let me go ahead and cut him off. Hear what he said. Their hearts are like the back of a turtle. I cannot reach them, so I will remove them from my sight. Who born of a woman, and that includes the Nephilim, who are stronger than men, they also were born of women. Who born of a woman can stand up and say, oh, I know how to reach them, God. Just because you said that you can't reach them, you don't know the plans I have for them. I have plans to show them goodness and a purpose. When God says, I can't reach someone, this one is no more fit for use, so I will get rid of it. One of the words the Lord said this morning, and these are just prophecies that keep coming and coming and coming. I'm not going to write them on the blog. One of the things he said this morning is tell them that my wind is coming. Tell them that my wind is coming and I'm going to blow all the empty vessels away. Just a moment, please. The Lord said that his wind is coming and he's going to blow away all the empty vessels. Who are the empty vessels? People who are not rooted and grounded in God's truth. People who are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. People who are naked but covered with an apparent robe of authority. Anyone who names the name of God and yet is false, you are the empty vessel. There's nothing in you. And God continues to say in these prayer calls, I have no need of so many people clogging the atmosphere. And I was reading in Jeremiah 4 this morning. This is where he woke me up very early and took me to. And one of the things that it says at the end of Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah is lamenting because Jeremiah is standing at a particular point in time and looking ahead and saying, the earth is desolate. The earth is desolate. The earth is without a man. And he's speaking of a time when trials, tribulations, difficulties, and just the killing machine of the beast system that is coming is going to take away so many souls. In one of these prayer calls, it's already up, God said that the time is coming when the church will lose its life, not even because those members of the church that lose their life have sinned or done anything. He simply said, it is a time of wickedness, my children. It is a time of gross unfairness. It is the time of the beast. In those times, people will lie on true Christians. They will report them for Bible reading and trying to worship wherever. They will be hunted down by this beast system. People will lose their life, not even because they deserve it, because they are sinning, but just because it is the evil of the time. Satan's 15 minutes of fame. He also said, tell them that the sinners will be cleansed from the land. Now, these are the people who will not stop their immorality, who will not stop their wickedness. One of the things the Lord spoke of is the immodesty of dressing in the earth. This urge to show every single part of your naked body so people can call you a queen and a diva and a goddess. Queens and divas and goddesses need to be warned that God is not interested in all that funk. He will judge People who walk in immodesty, people who live in immorality very harshly. God has been warning about these things since 2019, and these prophecies are very old, that there will be very harsh penalties for same-sex lifestyles, for trans lifestyles, for all the different lifestyles, either direct punishment coming from the hand of God himself, or he will allow circumstances to punish people so much that, as he said in the prophecy, Adam, my Adam, he said to men who are in same-sex relationships, when you are dying, your family will stand there and watch you die, and they will feel, you will feel the pain that you are dying, and they will feel the pain that they stood there. They did not correct you. They did not attempt to fight for your soul, but they were just telling you, we love you, Connor. We support you in whatever decision you want to do. So these are the words of the Lord. The church is in a terrible state, and I think the worst part of the church's terrible state is that she is like the world, and she continues to insist that reckless love would never let her get into a terrible state. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye.
We will rise. Amen. We were meant to rise by God. We were created by God to rise. Hallelujah. In the power of God, in the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. We were created. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, to rise in his mighty name and be victorious in his mighty name. Amen. Well, shalom to each and one of you, my brother and my sister of the Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. I hope everyone's doing fine, seeking the Lord, committing your life to Jesus. So shalom, shalom to each and one of you. Praise you, Lord. We thank the Lord for his love and mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe tonight we're going to have a good Bible study. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to go into the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. And study it together. Amen. Study the Word together. This is where if you have any question, you can ask. Hallelujah. And we can search the Bible together. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. We are in the last of the last time before the return of Jesus. This time is so exciting, my brother and sister, because we know that there is nothing left. We believe it by, hallelujah, his promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You saw the title I put in. Oh, I think it got erased. Let me refresh that, because what it is seven revelation is the title of tonight's Bible study message. I like to put a title now because this is where we, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Let me refresh it for those that will look it up and want to follow. We're in Revelation 14. We were able to finish last week, Revelation 13. Amen. We're going to follow it all the way to Revelation 22. Some people say 22nd. And the reason being is, my brother and sister, I was asking myself, right, since God revealed me that every chapter in Revelation goes according to our years, 2013, Revelation 13, and everything been according to the year, there's an event that been happening, like Jerusalem becoming the capital of the Jewish people, which is in Revelation 17, it is affirmed, my brother and sister, how the Babylonian system will come up and how the new pope came up also, which brought homosexuality in the Catholic Church. And in Revelation 17 and 18, we can see Babylonian being judged according to her sin, my brother and sister. And it says, due to her according to her sin. So we're going to get there, and some of you will be amazed at the things God's going to give to us about Revelation 17, 18, and 19, 20, 21, and 22nd. Because it's all be all related to the year that we already been in. We already in 2022, Revelation 2022, will be the last chapter of the book of Revelation, my brother and my sister, which is, it's very interesting. Hallelujah. I said to someone, are we really in 2022? Because if the Lord turns the clock back to 2020, this will be like a dream, like we've never been there before. And he done that. He had done that in the past, and we had never noticed this. My brother and sister, when he had turned back the clock, to us it's been like a dream. Okay? So praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We are in 2022. Thank you, Lord. So we are about to be going home, my brother and sister. What comes after Revelation 22? Think about it. Praise the Lord. But still in Revelation 22, the bride is still saying, come, Lord Jesus. He has still not come. We are in 2022, and Revelation 2022, hallelujah, amen. And the church is still praying, Revelation 22, come, Lord Jesus. What does that mean? It's still not come yet. Amen. Yes, we need to do a healing service, sister. I like to make those services special. I believe they are special because that's where we invite Jesus. And we invite the Lord to come and visit people and heal them as he did in the past so many times and heal so many people. For that, we need to fast and pray. It's how the Lord has taught me this for years. My brother and my sister, notice that we don't do these things according to how other people do it. No, we like to ask the Lord first. And then when he says yes, and he says yes, he's going to come, then amen, we do it. So we got to ask the Lord for another healing service. And when would the Lord, when can we do it? We will need to fast, yes, and pray. But if the Lord is going to come, he has said yes to me in the past, and he has come. Last time I said he had healed over 20, and the Lord says, no, my son, I healed over 30. And so then I was stunned. Okay, Lord, thank you. Amen. So when he comes, the Lord heals people in a supernatural way. So we haven't done it in months. I believe it's years now. Amen. So it's something we want to ask for. But we are so close. We are so, so close. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And again, you got to get your heart ready. Now, for the sister, thank you, Sister Renee, for the question. Okay. How do you make your heart ready, your life ready for Jesus to come to you? How do you do it? Okay. There are simple explanations in the Bible for this, for women, for sisters, and the Lord. Okay. And I'm going to give you one simple explanation. One simple book, the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Esther made herself ready for the king. And listen to this. Esther did not seek her will, okay, to make herself ready for the king. She saw what the king desired. And that's how you get yourself ready. It's not like, Lord, Lord, this is what I want. No, Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Okay, and, okay, so, of course, we're going to pray. Please help me pray to the Lord that he'll give us another day for another healing service where he is going to come from his throne down here, touch people with his wounded hand and heal them in a special way. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to begin to pray for that this week. Join us. Please join us. We'll do it together. We'll ask the Lord that he will come down and heal his people in a mighty, mighty special way. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he'll do more than healing. Because we had a lot of deliverance in one of the last time service. The Lord delivered people. We also had a lot of people baptized in the spirit, baptized in tongue. The Lord gave gifts to other people. And so much more. But in the one of the last several was a lot of deliverance, a lot of deliverance. A lot of people had a lot of demonic attack. And when we asked the Lord to come, he came. And as he said, he came to set the captive free. There was a lot of deliverance. I was so surprised how much deliverance. But a lot of people, after the Lord delivered them from spiritual attack, demon, they got healed right after that. So seeking the will of the Lord sometimes can be strange to a lot of people. But in the way the Lord does thing is, he does it perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. We want it the way we want, and I can show you that in the Word, how we want things to be done, but the way God does is different than the way we want it to be done. Okay? So, praise the Lord. It's something that I will bring in another healing, in the healing service. I'll look up these verses and show people that seeking the will of God, even for healing, deliverance, and so much more, is where you are. God will prepare you, get you ready, and you'll receive it. And I love it because, my brother and sister, when it's done according to his will, it's done 100%. I mean, just to testify, up in New Hampshire, I was invited to do this type of service. We were doing it live in person. And the people that were asking me to do this and fasting and prayer, I asked them to fast and pray and was seeking the Lord. A lot of people were going to church, member of church, and they had a way how the church led them to do these things. But when they came to me, how the Lord was leading me to do was different. But then I shared with them that when we do it according to how the Lord leads us, it's 100%. There's no mistake there. There's no, it didn't happen. No, it's 100%. And they thought that was very strange. How can someone claim it 100%? That's very strange. Okay, and I said, when it's led by the Lord, it is. A lot of people said, okay. They began to fast and pray. And when we began to do the service, weeks after fasting and prayer and doing this, people began to get healed instantly. There were people, the anointing was so strong in my hand that before I lay hand on the sick part of their body, the power of God was already working on them. They were already heal, okay, and people can testify that the healing was already happening before I lay hand when we had claimed this already in prayer, and it was so shocking to them. They said, Brother Elvis, wow, we never felt anything like this. This is incredible. We had a sister who had lots of pain in her legs. She could hardly walk. She had to go to work every day, walking through the snow. You got to wear boots, and she could hardly walk. She's been like this for the last, I don't know how many years. I don't remember now because she testified this. And she was one of the sisters also that had asked, and we asked her to fast and pray, and she thought it was very weird how I was being led to pray for people. But she did it in obedience, you know. But she questioned why did we do it the way we did it. But, you know, again, I tend not to listen to people when they question the way the Lord lead me to do things because I know, I trust the Lord in it. That's what it is. And I want to be obedient to the Lord. So I'm not going to get in disobedience because someone wants me to do it differently. No, it has to be the way the Lord had led me to do it. And she went in there and she fasted and prayed. And she was one of the person that before I touched her with my hand, with anointing oil, she was already, the power of God was already working in her leg. And restored her leg completely where, my brother and sister, she will heal completely from that day. She never felt pain anymore after that. Her leg became, under the power of God, completely numb, completely restored. She was over 60. She was overweight. And after that, she was completely healed. She thought that part of her pain in her leg was because she was overweight, and it truly was part of it. But you don't make fun of people that are overweight. It was never in me to do that. Well, anyone, we just pray for people when they ask for prayer. And she got healed completely. She never had any pain after that. And she had tried everything, my brother and sister, and doctors, everything. Nothing worked before. After the power of God came, after fasting and prayer, she got healed. And she was so grateful. And I said, thank the Lord. My brother said, then she kept letting the brother know that she was still healed after weeks, after months. No pain, nothing. She could go to work every day, drive her car to work, no pain. She was totally healed. She testified in church and all that. And it made our group bigger. And it gave me more responsibility. And I'm like, but I was not here for that. Because we already had a service going on where we were doing Bible study every week. And I had so much responsibility in my hand. And they were giving me more and more because more people kept coming. Can you please pray for us? Can you continue to do these healing service? And I'm like, okay, you know, okay, I'll try to take time out of the busy schedule to do this because I was still going to work. I had an office work. I had patients that I needed to go see every single day for over 8 hours. So, and it was so difficult. And more responsibility of more people coming. After more people got healed, they kept letting other people know what was happening. And oh, man, I felt so responsible to continue with the service. The Lord is the one that does the healing, my brother and sister, but I had to travel. So like around an hour and 15, 20 minutes, around there, to go do this service every day from my house. And up north, it just snows so much in the winter. So it was so difficult to get there with snow and all that. But people were expecting the service. They were expecting the miracle, and God just kept doing it and doing it. And I didn't know where God was leading me to, with all these things that was going on, my brother and sister. But again, I was letting people know that God was calling me into doing this radio program and all that, that very soon I won't be able to do it. People, no, we need you to continue here helping us. And they have my phone number, and they just kept calling me for more and more. Brother Obi, God has given you the gift. We need you to continue to pray for more healing. I said, you got your church, you got your pastor there. They got healing service going on almost every week also. Wow. It was a lot of work, brothers and sisters, a lot of work. Ministry can be a lot. Amen. But doing it for the Lord, you never say no to people. And I never learned to say no to people in the ministry when it has to do for prayer, healing, deliverance, or anything. It always been yes for about 30 years, my brother and sister, but it can be a lot of responsibility. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But the healing from the Lord never stopped. And that's what surprised me. Because the more they asked for prayer and healing, the Lord kept healing them more. The power of the Lord never ceased. The anointing and power of God was there to heal people. My brother and sister, God is so awesome. He loves people. And I imagine people going to Jesus all the time in Jerusalem when he was walking around praying for the sick and him healing them. The book of Luke says that multitude kept coming to him, my brother and sister, for healing. Amen. So, Revelation 14. And I looked, lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on the forehead. This is how the Lord runs Father's business. Hallelujah. He always has a crowd that follow him in heaven. I seen the Lord in heaven teaching the word, and the people there. And when he could be teaching the people, he can also be with 140,000 angels or more with God's army. He is the commander in chief of God's army, and they follow his order very close. They listen to what he has to say. One time he takes him to heaven. He was speaking to Father's army, and it was endless, hundreds of thousands upon hundreds of thousands listening to the Lord, my brother and sister. He is so awesome. He is so awesome. The Lord said something to me this morning as I've been meditating on the book of Revelation, especially the things that are coming, the things that are going to happen, my brother and my sisters. Amen. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he spoke to me about this morning, I heard Jesus speaking to the ravens. And he was asking the ravens, are you ready? Are you ready? He says to the ravens. And the ravens respond back to him. Listen to how the raven responds back to Jesus.
Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Amen. And as Jesus talked to the raven, they respond back to him, as you hear. The raven was responding back to him, the Lion of Judah. He asked the raven, Are you ready? Hallelujah. Because the raven, Jesus has invited them for the great supper, my brothers and sisters. And it's not the supper that is going to happen in heaven with the bride of Christ, my brother and sister. This supper that the Lord is calling them, as John said, I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice saying to all the foes, hallelujah, the flies in the midst of heaven, come gather yourself together to the supper of the great God. This supper is not the supper that you and I are invited to. But we are going to be in this supper too. There are two supper that we're coming to. We're coming to the supper of the Lamb, with the wedding celebration will be going on. The bride of Christ that is part of it will be in that great supper of Jesus. But then there will be another supper coming up. After the 7 years are over, the Lord returned with his army. As the Lord showed me a few weeks ago that I shared in the Lord Tower, we're coming back with the Lord. Then we come to this great second supper. Hallelujah. Revelation 19:17. Unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of king, the flesh of captain, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. My brother and sister, God is going to take vengeance on this earth. Jesus is coming to fight them. My brother and sister, hallelujah. He is coming to eliminate them, to remove them, because they have turned so evil. Hallelujah. They have turned so wicked, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. They have turned against God, the Creator. In God, into a day and hour that he has prepared. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, in Jeremiah 15:3, he says, I will appoint over them four kings, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dog to tear, and the foe to heaven, beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. God has separated beasts, animals, the foes of the air, the ravens to eat of their flesh in the days to come, because we are in the last days. There's not much left. My brother and sister, the Lord said something to me this week that shocked me. He showed me the end again. And this time, he allowed me to go forward and checked how much time was left in the spirit. Today's message is called Seven Revelation. In the spirit, I knew that within seven, I don't know if it's 7 hours, 7 minutes, 7 weeks, or 7 months. I don't know. But within seven in the spirit, I knew as I move forward, I could not go beyond seven. Because beyond seven is the great tribulation. My brother and sister, beyond seven is the great tribulation that is to come on the earth like it never been before. Matthew 24, like it'll never be again. And I went and checked in the spirit the timing. And I came back to the Lord. And the Lord, and I said, but how can it be so close? I said to him again, go check again. And I went in the spirit like lightning and checked again. I could move quickly and checked again. And that was it. There was no more time. And I was even thinking, if there is no more time left, there's nothing for us to do. What can we do in this little time? I kept saying, how can there be so little time? I said again. He says, go check again. I went again and checked again. And I came back. Wow. Is it really that close? What is coming? How can it be so close? I said. He said, go check again. And I went back and checked again. And it was within seven. Very close. Very, very close. And I said, how can it be so close? My brother and sister, I don't know. You know, as human, we may plan. Maybe I just want to bring too many people with me. I don't know. I just, there are things we plan, things we want to do, things we wanted to see. My brother and sister, go check again. I knew it was seven, but I kept checking. Again, he said, coming back, I said to a dear sister, sister, are we in the year 2022? And I know it will sound weird. And I wouldn't that we, am I sleeping? And now I'm going to ask you on the chat room, people at home, are we really in 2022 or am I sleeping? Because if I'm sleeping, I need to wake up. Are we really in 2020, but it feels like we're in 22? Or we're really in 2022? Because if we are really in 2022, there's no time left. My brother and sister, are we really in 2022? This is 2020. Okay? Because if we are really in 2022, okay, there's no time left. There's no time left. How do we got here so fast? Can someone explain this to me? How did we got to 2022? How did we got to the end? And now we're at the end. This, there was nowhere I can go beyond seven. Nowhere. I tried checking. He said, check again. And you know why? Because the Lord doesn't like doubt and unbelief. He is not pleased with it. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is what the Lord has been impressing in my life. We are not to doubt him. This is why we're praying pride down and unbelief. Because it doesn't please him. God is not about doubt. Whatever he says, it is. When he spoke everything that we know into being, he didn't have no doubt that it will be so. He knew, he knows, because he has all power in heaven and earth. The Bible says he created the heaven, Genesis 2, and created the earth. The heaven was created first. My brother and sister, imagine the witnessing of the angels in heaven, the spirit, the creatures, all the beautiful things God had created in heaven. Imagine them witnessing God speaking down here, the earth, and into being. Creating the grass, the animal, and preparing everything, even a garden, for where he will create man in his image and in his likeness. They witness God. My brother and sister, God never does anything hidden. When Jesus spoke, he spoke publicly. And when the Pharisee tried to accuse them of anything, Jesus said that everything he did and done was in front of everyone to see. He never spoke hidden. He always spoke publicly. My brother and sister, this is why no one has an excuse with him. Because the Lord, God Almighty, everything he's done in the eyes and the ears of everyone, of all his creation. None of his creation can say, wait a minute, that was not said, that was not done. Not so, not so. Near his throne, he has 24 elders, 24 witnesses. My brother and sister, if you ever doubt God and by his grace and mercy, you are able to come to heaven. Ask him, may I speak with the 24 elder? And ask the elder in heaven, did you witness God doing all this creation? And watch what they have to say about it. Because they are witnesses. They saw God speaking things into being. My brother and sister. But what a greater witness it is that you and I can speak. You and I can see each other. You and I can walk on the earth. You and I can breathe his air. You and I can see the sun, the moon, the star. What else do you need to see to believe? The devil's been throwing doubts in people's mind. Doubt and unbelief for thousands of years. He wants people to doubt God because the devil knows that, hallelujah, without faith, it is impossible to please him. The devil knows the word. He knows that without faith, you cannot come to God and him be pleased about you without faith. It is impossible to please him. My brother and sister, that any man, any woman that approaches God must believe that he is. Got to believe him. My brother and sister, and therefore, when you believe him and you come to him, you will be rewarded by him. My brother and sister, you will be rewarded. The two last chapter, the book of Revelation finished with God, chapter 21, my reward is with thee. He says, first, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to reward you according to thy work, he says. Chapter 22, one of the last verses says, come, Lord Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. Still, in 2022, he had not come yet. Revelation 22, he had not come yet. Because the bride is still saying, come. My brother and sister, what an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Now, talking about seven, I look up in the dictionary in the Bible online, seven. There's 112 verses about seven, my brother and sister. It's not a coincidence that in the Word of God you find seven everywhere. Genesis 7:4, seven. For yet 7 days, this is God speaking to Noah. Yet for yet 7 days, and I will cause us to rain upon the earth. This Bible study, it is a mystery with the word right in front of us because I saw seven left for us to go home. It's what he showed me. But what does it mean? So God says to Noah, when the time comes that Noah has preached the word, has testified, it comes to the end, my brother and sister, all the animals are coming into the ark. God says to Noah, yet another 7 days. This is a mystery. Another 7 days, God says to Noah. This is the moment where if you are in the ark and you say, all right, let's close the door, let's take off. It was not up to Noah to say, all right, to his sons and wife, close the door. And you know, close the door, because that's it. We finished the ark. All the animals are in. Close the door, and nobody else wants to come in. Okay, they made the decision. It's not a to me. It's not a to us anymore. Just close the door, and then everything will be fine. We already heard the Lord that, you know, it's going to rain. No. Notice the obedience of Noah here. He doesn't close the door of the ark himself. He's still trusting in the Lord, waiting in the Lord. My brother and sister, Noah is still waiting. Jesus said that at the coming of the Lord will be like in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. And Luke 17 and Matthew 24. For yet another day I will cause us to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from the face of the earth. Destruction is coming within seven. The Lord showed me this week. I don't know if it's days or months. I don't know. Within seven. Seven fulfillment, seven completion. That's what I saw, seven. Clear seven. I went and checked it and checked it again. Clear seven. Destruction is coming within seven. My brother and sister. Genesis 7:10, and it came to pass that after 7 days, the water of the flood were upon the earth. 7 days, this is what he showed me. After seven, I don't know what it is, if weeks, months, or days. After seven, destruction is coming on the earth. He showed me very clear. Destruction is coming on the earth after seven. Told Noah, seven more days. There's that seven. And then Genesis 7:10, and it came to pass that after the 7 days of water, the flood were upon the earth. Again, my brother and sister, God fulfilled after seven exactly what he says to Noah. Praise the Lord. Genesis 7:8-10, and he stayed yet another 7 days. Again, he sent for the dove out of the ark. Notice that every event that happened here in Genesis, seven comes up. Even when he sent the dove through the window of the ark to find out if the water has settled. My brother and sister, and they were about to, if they could come out of the ark. He sends out the dove yet another 7 days. I believe it was the raven he sent first. Then the dove, which are prophetically raven, judgment, dove, salvation. Pouring out the Holy Spirit, dove, salvation. My brother and sister. So happy birthday, Brother Stroud. In 7 weeks, it'll be a birthday. Amen. So think about it. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 14:2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. There's the Lord speaking. And as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of arps, arping with the arps. I seen this the other day in heaven in the wedding celebration. They were redeemed who had arps in their hand. They were playing the arp, celebrating the day of the king. His day is the wedding day. Verse 3, and they sang. And it was a new song before the throne and before the living being and the elders. And no man can learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Redeemers. That's what I saw playing the harp, the instrument for the Lord. As they were heading with him for the place of the wedding. Verse 13, and they that were not defiled with women, they were virgin, that they followed the Lamb who was forever that he goes. They were redeemed from among the men, being the first fruit unto God the Lamb. I didn't even confirm this, but as I read it here now, these are exactly the people that I saw. Because they were also running the Lord in heaven. As the Lord was heading to the wedding celebration, they were playing harp, and I knew these men were very holy. My brother and sister, redeemed, separated to the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't even know they were virgins. That's what it says here, that they were virgins. I didn't know this. I saw them in heaven. I saw they were very holy. They were playing instrument to the Lord. I saw the harp they were playing. Golden. The whole harp was golden. And now that I read it and see it, like, wow, this is exactly what I saw. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5. In their mouth was found no guilt, for they are without fault before the throne of God. No sin. Guilt is sin. Hallelujah. Guy, I believe guy, or some people say. So no guilt, for they are without fault before the throne of God. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. That's incredible. Thank you, Lord, the blessing that they get for being holy for the Lord and righteous. Verse 6, and I saw another angel to fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, for every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Hallelujah. For the people that think that only human can preach, God can use angels to preach also. My brother and sister, preach and teach. He uses angels. I saw this in the millennium. There will be angel bringing teaching to the people in the millennium, as they do in heaven. I was taken to the millennium and I saw one doing this. Someone thought it was a bait. But here is the everlasting gospel angel were preaching. Now, if you see them in the form of human, like if you don't see no wind, you see like a person in front of you, and you think it's just a person I redeem. You don't even know it's an angel. Okay? Praise the Lord. Because some are angels down here in human form. But to you, to the people, they're not angels. But the Lord's going to reveal them after for what they are. Amen. Verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Notice how we, God's servant, God's preacher, God's messenger, we are supposed to tell him, turn people to Jesus always. This is why when people say, oh, thank you, Brother Ovi, I said, oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, glory to him. None to me and anybody else. We are supposed to turn people to the Lord. Because if you depend on Jesus 100%, you will be delivered from any trouble, any bad situation 100%. And the moment you find yourself in the most difficult cycle in your life, see, this is what the church has made the mistake over the years. Pastor has said to the church, come to me, you know, can call me anytime. I'm available 24 hours. Here's my phone number. Here's my other phone number. Here's my fax. Here's my email. And here's my Facebook page. Here's my Instagram. Here's my Twitter page. You got so many ways now to locate me. I'm available 24 hours. And that made people dependable on the pastor, 100%. Not on the Lord, on the pastor, on the minister. And so people, when immediately they find themselves in a problem, instead of praying to Jesus, they immediately are looking for the pastor phone number. Imagine if they got a new phone and the pastor phone number is not there. They're probably looking in the drawer for a phone number or calling someone else. Do you know the pastor phone number? Do you know his email? I need to get up. What's going on? I'm in trouble. I really need the pastor to help me in this urgency. I need him to pray because it's so simple. When you're trusting 100% in Jesus and the trouble is too much, you say to your husband and to your wife, honey, can we pray? Sweetie, can we pray? Can we get on our knees and pray? Or sit here and pray? Can we hold hand? Let's do a prayer. Let's do a special prayer right now. We need the Lord to help us with this problem right now. Right now. Or your child. If you are a single mother, a single father, and you live with your child, please, sweetie, come over here. Let's pray. Let's intercede right now to Jesus. And you do a prayer, and your child will do a prayer. The Lord hears you from heaven. Another sign, something happens. And God solves your problem. You get the Almighty. You say, Lord, I need you to go to Father. Because you said, Lord, that when you go to Father, you live to intercede. When you go to Father, everything changes. Lord, I need you to intercede for me, Lord. I need you to go to Father and ask Father to fix the situation that I'm in. Lord, I'll be out in the street tomorrow. Landlord has given me 24 hours to be on the street. I need Father to come and enter being. Hallelujah. And help me in this situation or I'll be out in the street. I found myself in the same situation one time. Landlord, hallelujah, I was supposed to be out in 48 hours. And I was like in the second or third day already. I needed to be out. I went on my knees in my bedroom next to my bed where I would pray with Jesus. Right where Jesus will come there when I will be crying to him, he will lay hand on me and minister to me. And I pray and pray. And a brother came and said, Brother Elvie, you ought to be out of your apartment. God opened the door to another apartment that is waiting for you. But I don't have the down payment. Don't have the down payment. I may have the first month, but I don't have the down payment. Okay? I provided the down payment for the apartment. Or I will have to be in the winter in Massachusetts out in the snow. Worse than the birds and the animal, and die in that cold weather. And my God, my Lord, heard my prayer from heaven. He got Father involved in my situation, and immediately my situation was solved. Hallelujah. The God that I trust for my life and the life of my family had never let her out to die like an animal. He will do the same for you if you trust him 100%. He will save you. He will deliver you in your greater need. In your greater situation, he will be there for you. He's been there for me. I can testify at this. Jesus said to me one time, back in 2013, hallelujah, haven't I answered your prayer? And he showed me. I saw it very clear. Every single prayer he answered. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. One of my last prayers, my wife and I cannot have children. My wife kept losing the children, the babies. After 5 months, five and a quarter, she kept losing it. And Jesus took me to heaven and spoke to me and said, you are going to have a son by next year, like he spoke to Abraham. I will make sure of that, Jesus says to me. I came back from heaven, and I came and spoke with my wife. She was still devastated. And I said, by next year, the Lord said, we're going to have a child. Hallelujah. And then she found out she was praying. It was a total celebration. And the Lord said, I said to my wife, the Lord said, this baby, you are not going to lose. That's my son, Levi. He is 13 now. And praise the Lord. Lord, why am I testifying this? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was sitting in my couch, and I was praying to God. Listen to this, because this was supernatural. I was sitting in my couch in my living room, and I was praying to God to give me the name of that baby that the Lord has given me. Instantly from my couch, Father took me before his throne. Listen, I was not sleeping. I was not laying down. He's Almighty God. He has all power. I was not sleeping. It was not time to sleep yet. I was not laying down. I was sitting awake. Suddenly from my couch, he took me up to heaven. And he says to me, his name will be Levi. My brother and sister, Levi. That's how you say it in Hebrew, Levi. Hallelujah. The right pronunciation. And came back and told my wife, God said that his name is Levi, Levi in English. My brother and sister. I never had an experience awake being taken out of my body like he did. That he showed me he is Almighty God. He looked at me in heaven and says, I'm in control. Father said, the Lord looked at me and said, I'm in control. Fear not, my son. Oh, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the for hours of his judgment is come. Where are we today in 2022? We are at the last of the last hour of his judgment. And it's come. It's not by coincidence. My brother and sister, worship him that have made heaven and earth and the sea and the mountain and the water. Now, there's one thing that when you go to heaven in the rapture, when you meet Jesus, ask him to confirm what I just told you about the experience that I have with him. Just please ask him. Please just ask him. When you see him face to face in front of you, say, Lord, we heard Brother Elby testify about these things. Can you confirm what Brother Elby said? And wait until he speaks. Thank you, Lord. Brother Alberto, he was in heaven standing with Jesus. He heard me about the prophecy of judgment coming to America. And he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, tell me about Brother Elby. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I have chosen him and has given him, he speaks my word. And the judgment he's been speaking that I've been given to him is about America. He says, mostly. Thank you, Lord. He was shocked by hearing it from the mouth of Jesus. Okay? I tell people, you can take it to the Lord always. You know, I'm not going to try to convince people. You have to take it to the Lord. He will convince you. Verse 8, and follow another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Falling is that great city. Because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The Babylonian system, the Antichrist system, my brother and sister, is making people drink the dirtiest water people had drink. Because the water people are drinking from her are full of fornication. The water can look clean in the physical, but it's the dirtiest water in the spirit anyone can drink. And people are drinking this water, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because you can drink the water of the spirit that the Lord gives us out of the fountain, which is Jesus. You can drink the best water, the cleanest water, which is his word. The teaching of his word, the pure word. That's the cleanest water you can drink. If you drink out of the water of the system of Babylon, of the Antichrist, when you sit there and you're reading page by page from her, from that system, you are drinking the dirtiest water. You're dirtying yourself. Let's say you have just read the Bible and you drank the more clean water you can drink. And you go online and on Google and you start reading what they're writing. You begin to drink that dirty water. You're dirtying your soul and spirit again after you just had it clean. My brother and sister, this is why people are demonically attacked so much. Because they go online and they start reading about her, Babylon, the fallen system. And they read and read and read every day about them. They go on Amazon and they order her books. And they're drinking the most dirty of water that they can drink, my brother and sister. And they're polluting their life with it. And then they're saying to the Lord, Lord, but I listen to Brother Elvie. I read your Bible every day. I pray and fast, Lord. I repent every day. What's going on? Why am I still being demonic attacked? You got to stop drinking the water from her. Her water is full of fornication. I'll give you part of her drink. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, yes, thank you, Lord. Politics. Republican. Democrat. They are both serving her. They are both her party. And all those leaders are serving her out of those parties, my brother and sister. And when you follow one or the other and listen to them and read what they have to say and follow their agenda and programs and idea and plan, you are drinking her water. And it's been polluting your soul, your mind, your body. And this is why you're having a tough time believing God and his word. Because her water, which is full of fornications, when it comes into you and it's polluting you, doubt and unbelief comes out of that. It makes you doubt. the devil can sow the seed of doubt in you. The Lord said, yes, thank you, Lord. The Lord can, the devil can sow in your life, not the Lord, the devil can sow in your life through the pollution of her water, doubt and unbelief, my brother and sister. And then you're questioning yourself, why? You're questioning God. Why, God? Why did you allow this? Excuse me? You are the one that are going to read those garbage. You're the one that go drink her water. You're drinking her water by cup and gallon. You're drinking over 8 cups a day of her water. How do you dare to blame God for it? Why didn't you drink 8 cups out of the cleanest water you can drink, the Bible, the Word of God, every day, and watch how your spiritual health will be strong and healthy for the rapture, the partial, the bride of Christ. You won't be struggling with doubt and unbelief if you only drink the water, which is the Word of God. My brother and sister, the cleanest water you and I can drink, that the Lord wants us to drink of. Remember the Samaritan and Jesus? When the Lord asked the Samaritan woman, give me of your water, woman. And the woman, my brother and sister, is so focused on the water, hallelujah. It's like people being focused on the problem. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, when people are so focused on the problem, then what's really going on in their life, they're overlooking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9 of John 4, then said the woman, the Samaritan, unto him, how is that thou, being Jew, ask a drink of me, who a woman of Samaria? For the Jew have no dealing with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is that that said to thee, give me to drink, thou will ask him, will ask of him, and he will give the living water. Oh, my Lord, give me that water. Give me of that living water, Lord. Give us of that living water. The Word of God is living water. And the water of the Word is so pure. The water he gives us is so pure. It's so holy. It's so righteous that will keep our vessel, body, soul, and spirit so clean, so pure. My brother and sister, oh, Lord, help us. Help us. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hence art thou the living water? Where do you bring this living water from? You don't even have nothing to bring the water out of. She's still focused on the natural. Most of our problem, or all, begin in the spirit, our spiritual. This is why the apostle said to the Ephesians, for you wrestle not against flesh or blood, for you wrestle not against human being. You are wrestling with being that are in the spiritual realm, Paul says. And then he says, principality, powers of the air, powers of evil. My brother and sister, they are the one that comes in the water of the Babylonian system that will pollute us. It will pollute us. My brother and sister, happened to me yesterday. I began to eat. I usually pray before I eat, and I even covered it with the blood of the Lord. But somehow, I don't know what I was thinking, what I was doing. I just began to eat on the time to eat after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I know I was fasting all day long and without food, no water until 4. Then later on, I sat down at the table to eat, and I forgot to pray for the food. Oh, I began to get pain in my stomach. And I didn't know why, but then I began to pray for my stomach. And a reminder came, you did not pray for your food. And it was like I'm being attacked. my brother and sister, through it. Then I began to pray later on and pray a night for my stomach, and it began to get better. And I began to rebuke all demon and the food that I already had ate of, and I began to get better. But my stomach was hurting, my brother and sister. But the reminder that I didn't pray for the food like I'm used to, my brother and sister, was in me like, wow, how do I miss to do that? What was I thinking? Okay? Something that I just should have done automatically. My brother and sister, art thou greater than our father Jacob, she says. Give us the well and the drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Samson said unto her, whosoever drink of the water shall thirst again. Whoever drink of this water, and I'm sorry, I'm waiting too fast. Hallelujah. She'll never thirst again. Oh, she'll thirst again, I'm sorry. But whosoever drink out of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But of the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. This is the Holy Spirit in us, springing up. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The devil, the demons are looking one way or another to attack us. You and I can never forget that for one second. It's not human beings. They may use human beings, witches and warlocks, and much more. But the attack is spiritual against our lives. My brother and sister, we wrestle not against humans. We are wrestling against demons in the spiritual realms since we gave our life to Jesus. We always have to be praying for everything and anything that goes on in our lives, my brother and sister. One day, years ago, I was having car trouble. And the Lord had been working with me about this already. And for some reason, I was starting my car. I knew everything was fine with my car. But I would get in my car and turn on my car to go to work. And my car started acting up. It was shut off. When I was stopped somewhere in some stop sign, a red light, the car was shut off. And then you had to start it all over again. When I would come out of work, it would not want to start again. And I'm like, what? The Lord was teaching me about rebuking these attacks. The people ignore all the time. What you people are usually doing in this case, they call a mechanic. Or they take it to a mechanic. Have a tow truck, take it to a mechanic. And the Lord was working with me about praying for everything and anything in our lives that happens, that you just think it's the car acting up in a thump. And I began to lay hand on my car and pray and rebuke the demon in it and rebuke the demon, especially while fasting, taking authority over the demon that was attacking my car. Until, boom, the problem was gone. The car was fine. Easily shut off, start, fine, go to work every day, fine, no more problem. No mechanic had touched anything, it was fine. And my eye was open after that, completely open. Not everything your car does is a mechanical problem. It could be a demon attacking your car. To me, it was shocking because these are not things you learn in church. These are things you learn from the Lord only. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He helped us. The thing is that we tend to forget because we think about a lot of things. We do a lot of other things. Hallelujah. And so we're speaking today with Brother Ben. He had an engine light. And he says to me, I pray for my truck. And the engine light is gone. And it was a reminder to me like, man, this is what the Lord revealed me years ago. I forgot this. To pray for the car for things like this. He prayed for his car. The engine light is gone. My brother and sister, hallelujah. We still got so much to learn and also so much to remember. because I don't remember. But the thing is that the enemy can attack you one way or another. And it's the first step you take is to pray and rebuke and take authority over it. You're going to have victory in the Lord. You got Christians that have victory in the Lord that are always taking authority over the demon and rebuking them and bounding them and cutting them out. Sickness, when they get a headache, demon, you out. They get a pain, demon, you out. My brother said, they don't take it lightly like other people. Let me get a Tylenol. Let me get an Advil. Let me call my doctor. Some people say, let me find out what's going on with me. I'm getting this pain. Instead of binding that demon and rebuking it and casting it out. That's where I learned that most of sickness are demonic attacks. But most people don't know how to deal with it because they're not being taught this in church. That you can take authority of a demon bothering your body, causing you pain. Even if it's a pain that's been there for years, that means that's a demon that's been there for years. And let me tell you about demons. They don't get tired harassing you and causing you pain. You can have a pain of a sickness in your body. A demon can be causing it. And you think the demon is going to have mercy in you and say, I'm going to just leave her or him alone and I'm just going to move because I've been doing this for too many years. And she's been hurting for so much. Poor her, poor him. They don't think this way. They'll stay there as long as anyone will count them out in the name of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, someone will bind them in the name of the Lord and cast them out. In the name of the Lord, they'll stay there, causing you pain. But in the day you say, I'm going to fast about this, and I'm going to take authority in the name of the Lord to bind this demon of sickness that's been causing me pain in my body, to leave me. Let me tell you, when you begin to do it, the demon don't want to leave. And when you keep taking authority, you can feel him leave, but he'll come back again. But you keep doing it. You keep binding him. And you keep casting him out to the lower part of hell. And you keep doing it in the name of the Lord until he's out. And you will be free. And you're going to learn something. See, what people miss to learn when they pray for healing for themselves or anybody else is what you learn in the process. A lot of people have not learned because they have not practiced their faith. The Lord wants us to practice the faith. Why do you think Jesus has his disciple with him when he was doing miracles? Why do you think he sent them to people to pray for them and they failed when they did? Remember the man that brought his son to the disciple? They were going around praying for people for healing. Jesus was not there with them. And the man brought his son that the demon would throw him in the fire, inside the fire, his child, for them to cast the demon out. And the disciple tried to cast out the demon out of this child, but nothing happened. Imagine the frustration of Peter, Matthew, and John and Luke. Imagine the frustration, scratching the head. But we're doing what we see Jesus do. He just rebuked them when they're gone, and we've been, I don't know how many hours they were doing it for. But the man said that he brought his son to them, and they could not cast the demon out. And Jesus rebuked them. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, and says, perverse generation. Now, I have brought a Bible study years ago about this, the meaning of why Jesus rebuked them in a certain way. My brother and sister, a perverse generation refuses to fast because it's more about the flesh than the spirit. My brother and sister, this is part of, yes, the Lord said yes. Thank you, Lord, for that yes. A perverse generation refuses to fast and pray and commit their life to Jesus. They refuse to commit their life to the Spirit. They're Christians that go to church every Sunday. They don't fast. They hardly do any prayer. They refuse to commit their flesh to the Spirit, to be stronger in the Spirit more than the flesh. Hallelujah. They're more about the flesh, marriage and this and that, vacation, pool, massage. Bible insisted. They're occupied more. And I'm sorry that I'm going to say this because there might be children listening. They occupy more about the sex life than the spiritual life. That's a perverse generation. that the Lord is referring to. My brother and sister. Because to be led by the flesh is death, Paul says to the Romans. Hallelujah. There is a time for everything that is done under the sun. And God wants us to be submitting our flesh to his spirit more than the desire of the flesh, which is lost in many other things. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Again, it's like eating. God made us, God made food for us to eat and live and stay healthy. Not for us to live to eat like the majority of people are doing. They live to eat. Every day they're eating all day long. They don't have time to pray or fast, do anything or be in the Word because they have to eat. Eating to them is number one. Eat has become an idol to them. Eat is their God. Why do you think God is taking away food from humanity right now? Whether people like it or not, he's cutting back food on them. For many years, he's been telling them to seek him and repent and to spend time with him. They have refused because they got to eat. And now God is cutting food back from them. Let's see how that's going to go now. Let's see how that is going to go with them. God is cutting back food on humanity. Humanity has become too gluttony before his presence. And Father's disciplining humanity right now. They don't like the discipline like the Bible said. Discipline at the present doesn't sound good to people. But God is disciplining his creation right now by cutting back food. My brother and sister, God have mercy. When the Samaritan woman understood what Jesus was talking about, this great water that he will give you, everlasting life. The woman said in verse 15 of John 4, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither in order for her to be ready to receive the water. She needed correction right now from God. My brother and sister, there were things in her life that were not right, that needed to be set straight. She needed mass repenting, mass recognizing her condition, sinful condition in her life. My brother and sister, and when she would be in repenting now with the Lord, her total life will be changed. Jesus will change her life completely. But now, look how Jesus now goes straight to the point with her. Go call your husband, woman. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou have well said, I have no husband. She has spoken the truth. But notice that the Lord said, you, like we say, oh, you have spoken the truth. No. At this moment, she has said well, which is different. Different. Speaking the truth only comes from God. And saying something well said is different. Correctly said, as we say, my brother and sister, there's a difference. There's still many have not been able to discern. But being in the Word, you learn. Verse 18. For thou hast five husbands. He whom thou hast is not thy husband. And thou said truthfully. There we go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here has someone in sync and speak the truth, my friend and sister. Someone can say, well, but under the correction of God, then we can speak it truthfully. Because correction, he's correcting her right now. He's correcting her life. Everything that is going on inside of her heart, her life, her whole life, he's rebuking, he is correcting, he is disciplining her right now. My brother and sister, because what did Jesus say in John 8:32? Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You come to the knowledge of Christ, you become free of the lie. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to have another man. That's not okay with God. You may learn by someone, even your parents, that it's okay, but it's not okay with God. If you think this way, you've been deceived, my brother and sister. So the Lord is correcting her now. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Because that's what the prophet, when God sent the prophet to the people, like the prophet Elisha, remember when all the people, when Jezebel and her husband were in office as king, she had all the prophet, all the people of God follow her prophet, false teaching, idolatry. And so when God was sending Elisha, was to come and rebuke the people. Hallelujah. Let's meet in Mount Carmel and let's see who's the truth God. My brother and sister, he came to put out their sins in front of them and to show them how wrong they were before God, that their lifestyle was not pleasing unto the Lord. My brother and sister, this is how the prophet did it. She knew the Bible. She knew this is how the prophet spoke to the people. Our father worshiped in this mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is a place where man is out to worship. Now she get into prophetic. Understanding prophetic. My brother, it's just a prophet, a prophecy. She's now getting into prophecy with Jesus. Because what they say that is there to worship in Jerusalem is actually what's going to happen in the millennium. We all going to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. There's worshiping going on in Jerusalem in the millennium, 24 hours. My brother and sister, this is the future of Jerusalem, of Israel. Messiah will be there, and they will worshiping going on all the time there, in that mount. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Hallelujah. Jerusalem, hallelujah, yes, we'll be there, and Messiah will be there. But the relationship that God will have with humanity, anywhere on the earth that you will be, you can worship the Father. My brother and sister, because why? It's a personal relationship with God that Jesus came to restore the kingdom of David that was falling. Jesus came to restore. Relationship with God has been was fallen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Levi and Levi has the same name. Oh, Elvi. Amen. Thank you. Someone noticed it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the woman was asking Jesus about the prophetic or the prophecy of what they claim that the Jewish claim. Ye worship not what. You don't know what you're worshiping, Jesus said, but we worship for salvation of the Jew. The Jew people knows right now and understand whom should they be worshiping. This is why they're not going to never receive the Antichrist or worship any man or any beast or anybody else. Because the Jewish people knows Messiah. They know God, my brother and sister. They know him. Hallelujah. And so they're brought to the land to worship and serve God. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, Isaiah, that when he brings them to the mountain, they're going to come and worship him there. So they know God. They know God. My brother and sister. So Jesus said that they knew that the Jews, because salvation was not the Jews. They knew. They know God. My brother and sister, it's sad when I hear Christians criticizing the Jew and criticizing that the Jewish people don't know what they're doing and know that. You got to be careful, because in Torah, in the five books of the Tanakh, of the Bible, the Jewish people can communicate with that very clear through those five books. They can communicate with Messiah very clear, my brother and sister. Okay? There's actually a rabbi that I heard in Jerusalem that said that Messiah told him that he's about to come in Israel. And this has been a scandal on YouTube. I don't know how many of you have seen it. He is a very respected rabbi. And he said that Messiah spoke with him recently and told him that he's about to come. And he said it to the Messianic community. And this created a great alarm in Israel these past few weeks, my brother and sister. Because he said to them, Messiah told me, he's a very respected, well-knowledgeable and studied rabbi. These rabbis have degrees behind them. They're no ignorant. They got into the best universally, as this song has. And he said Messiah spoke to him and said that he's about to come. Hallelujah. And there's been a lot of question about what he said. But if it's true, is it biblical? Yes. Yes, it is, my brother and sister. Verse 23, but the hour coming now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such a worship to worship him. This is personal relationship. I'll leave it that one there. Personal relationship, what God wants for each and one of us. My brother says, the Father wants it. The Father wants personal relationship. And the Father gets what he wants because he's God Almighty. Okay, he's the one that demands. He is the one that says how things should be. This is why I'm surprised when I hear a minister and people saying, oh, this is the way things are going to be. This is the way things are going to do. This is the way I lead my church and this and that. Nonsense and foolishness. God tells us how it is. We don't sit here and tell God, no, this is the way. Nonsense. It is God. We are led by him. We are led. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. We should always say how God lead us, how God wants things to be, and that's it. His will. His will. Revelation 14:9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, in his image will receive his mark on his forehead or on the right hand. Exactly what the Lord has shown me in the great tribulation, the great multitude, they're going to have to align up to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. This is not questionable anymore. I don't know how many of you have seen the new videos that are going on online. Are people that are being vaccinated that are dropping off death. They're dropping death to the floor. My brother and sister. Depopulation is already going on. Okay? And it's coming from the beast. Verse 10, and the same should drink out of the wine wrath of God, which is poured out unmixed into the cup of his indignation. And he shall torment with fire and brimstone in his presence, his holy angel in the presence of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He shall be tormented. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they had no rest day and night. Who worship the beast in his image and whosoever received the mark and of his name. The Antichrist. Okay? And the false prophet are going to be tormented. And all the followers, forever and ever, God says, whatever they've been doing, whatever they are doing, is wicked and evil. Notice how they brought abortion until abortion was no more for a while. They're not going to rest to try to kill God's little one and to try to go after God's people, my brother and sister. God's people will refuse the bison. Will refuse the mark of the beast, even in the great tribulation, those that will stay behind. Those whose name are in the book, because they are elected and selected by God, and God himself will keep them. They will have the inner power from God to say no to the bison, to say no to the mark of the beast, here now, even in the great tribulation. My brother and sister, they will be persecuted for it. They will be arrested. They will be bound and they will be beheaded for it. They will still say no to the mark of the beast. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Notice that God has kept us so far. Let's continue to pray for the CDC not to get this new vaccination requirement that they try to bring in our school in the United States. Because once it's approved in the United States, it's going to go to the rest of the world. Millions and billions of babies can become vaccinated. We need to continue to pray this doesn't happen. Please, we got important matters in our hand. That this got to be must in our prayer every day, my brother and sister. Okay? Now, the Lord asked me to pray for Donald Trump. I will ask you the same. Let's pray for Donald Trump. Obama wants to come back into office. But I have something to say to you about this. We are the Church of Jesus. And we are still here. Everything that goes on this earth is under our watch. That means that if we pray, they won't get away with anything. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If we don't pray and we let it happens under our watch. One day when we are before the Lord, because we are going to be before the Lord, and if he asks us about this matter, and why didn't we let it happen, what are we going to say to the Lord? What excuse do you think that we can get away in heaven, that we can say to Jesus and say, yeah, you're right. Okay, go ahead, walk away. Go have fun. What excuse can we give to the Lord on that day when we are before him face to face and he's asking us, why didn't you pray for this to happen? And why didn't you pray for that other thing not to happen? Why did you agree for this and for that to happen? Why? Why did you settle when I given you the power and the authority? The power to pray, the authority to proclaim it and declare, and you didn't do so. My brother and sister, we the church have a great responsibility before God. Great. A lot of people don't take their responsibility. But our responsibility, my brother and sister, hallelujah, is great. Because it was God who gave us the responsibility, okay? We can say we didn't ask for it. He gave it to us. But by him giving us the responsibility, my brother and sister, we now have to act upon it. Now look, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I hear people saying that we need to come all together and pray. That will be a miracle. Because when Moses wanted to bring all the people together to agree with him, it was almost impossible for him. He went out to the mountain. They started worshiping a cult. He couldn't have them in agreement. 3,000 fell dead, and God swear that they were not going to enter his rest. Moses can never get them together in agreement. All God needs is one or two, Jesus said, in my name. Whatever they ask, or two or three, it will be given to them. My brothers, God only needs one of us. But we have many of us that we can come and ask together. So again, 1 Peter 2:9, a peculiar people, that ye shall for the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. The Lord, he says, in time past we were not a people, but now the people of God. This is how it is now. Now, before we came to Christ, it was different. We were not a people. We cannot proclaim or declare anything because we were not people of God. But now we are, Peter says. In time past, we were not a people. But now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have received and obtained mercy. In the past, we had no mercy. Now we have it from God. Now mercy is on our side. And Jesus said he is mercy. And when he goes and prays to the Father's throne, everything changes. My brother and sister, each and one of us now has mercy on our side. According to 1 Peter 2:10, in case you didn't know, 1 Peter 2:10, read it. Believe it. Receive it. Okay? You had no mercy. You didn't have Jesus in your life before. Now you do have mercy. Now you do have Jesus. Okay? So what do you do now with him? Do you keep him hidden? Do you now ask him to go to the Father's throne? If you do now, if you can, you can totally can now. And say, Lord, go to my Father's throne. I need this petition to be answered now. We need the situation to change. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. And the time passed, we were no people, he said. But now the people of God not obtain mercy, listen, but have obtained mercy. But now have obtained mercy. Now. And the now, you and I, we have mercy in us, our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he goes to the Father, when we pray, he intercedes, and everything changes. Hallelujah. Praise to God. It's different now. It is different now, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Now you don't pray the same. Now you don't ask the same. Now you have to believe when you pray, and pray with faith. Hallelujah. And now God grants it for you. Now God gives it to you when you ask. Whatever you ask the Father, Jesus said, in my name, it will be given to you. Are you listening? Whatever you ask the Father, he says, in my name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It will be given to you. Praise you, Lord. What is it that you're not asking in Jesus' name that you haven't received? Hallelujah. What is it? Praise the Lord. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do. Let me take that, because he goes to the Father's throne and pray every day. And when he goes, everything changes. That's what he showed me. And now in his word, he confirmed the same. He confirms the same. Whatsoever I ask the Father in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay? Let's see how this happened. Let's see how this goes about. Lord, in your name, we ask the Father that this that the CDC wants to, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, in your name, pray with me. Lord Jesus, our Lord, our God, and our Savior, we ask that you will go to the Father's throne and that you will pray and that you will intercede that this what the CDC wants to make to come to pass, Lord, will be anew. It will not come to pass while we're still on the earth, while the church is still on the earth. Lord, just see that you will ask the Father that the CDC and anybody else will not be able to bring this to come to pass while we're still on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Lord Jesus, please hear us for our children's sake, for our sake, Lord. We ask your promise in Jesus' name. Lord, keep us, keep our children in your name, Lord, that this will not be brought in the school system, Lord. In Jesus' name we prayed. Hallelujah. How many of you says amen? Amen to the Lord and his promise. Whatever we ask in his name, Jesus, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, God, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will give unto you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Father, in Jesus' name we ask. Lord, please hear us. Father, please answer us. Please. In Jesus' name. This will not be passed in the school system. Please, Lord, we pray for Donald Trump, Lord. Keep him in his family. Restore him back, Lord. In Jesus' name. Whatever we ask, he says, ask the Father in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, you did it once. Please do it again. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Everything is possible with thee, O Father. You created the heaven and the earth by your word. By your word we ask now. In Jesus' name, please answer us and keep us in the last days. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. John 16:23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give unto you. Thank you, Lord. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. He goes to Father throne every day. Mercy is in you. Mercy is on your side, which is Jesus. Ask the Father in his name, and he will grant unto you. Praise the Lord. John 16:27, in that day you will ask in my name, and I will say not unto you, but I will pray to the Father for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For the Father himself love you. For the Father himself love you, Jesus says. Because he loved me and have believed that I came all from God. Praise you, Jesus. How many of you have believed Jesus that he came from God? Praise you, Lord. Ask in Jesus' name. Repent of your doubt and unbelief. I'm sorry, Lord, doubt and unbelief. I repent. Pride, doubt and unbelief, Lord, I'm sorry. We ask in Father's name that our children will be protected in school, that the vaccine will not be mandatory. In Jesus' name, Yeshua name in agreement, more two, Lord, where two or three comes together in your name and ask, it will be given to them by my Father. You said, Lord, please, Messiah, go before our Father and ask him for our children, the family, Lord. The church, we're still here, Lord. You still have us here working for you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're responsible, Lord. And we're taking our responsibilities serious. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord. We're not running away from our responsibility. We're not hiding. We're praying. We're doing. We're interceding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Whatever we ask the Father in my name, it will be given unto you. Hallelujah. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. My brother and sister, we stand on the word of God. We ask as the Lord says. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, "But be ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the thing that ye have need before you ask him." Huh. Are you listening? Father God in heaven knows what we have need of. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. He says he's going to take care of us. I remember him telling me he's going to take care of us. He said in his word he's going to take care of us. He knows what we need. We need to ask. 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 Praise you, Lord. Why did Jesus go to the throne of the Father and pray every day? He asked. He's asking Father. Because he knows Father's kind and loving. He knows Father loves him. He knows Father loves us. He goes and pray, Father would answer. Why? Because he loves us, Jesus said. It's a love relationship we have with him. My brothers and sisters, in that love we can pray. We can ask. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Revelation 14, there are they that keep the commandment of God in the faith of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the great tribulation, there's great patience and faith. We need to have great patience and faith. In faith, keeping the commandment of God, faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus was we wait on the Father. He went to the cross. He was thrown in jail. The cross was put on his back. And patiently he went and was crucified. Seems like it took a long time. But he trusted on Father. Said, Father, unto thy hand I will command my spirit. My brother and sister, and he gave us the ghost, the Bible says. He trusted in Father's hand for 33 years. Hallelujah, he was in Father's hand, trusting in him. And in the last minute, he showed his respect and love for Father. He gave the ghost into his hand. Completely trusted the Father. My brother and sister, now Jesus is God. He said in John 10, he has the power to lay down his life and to raise it up again. But he showed us here how he trusted on the Father 100%. Until thy hand, Father, hallelujah, I command my spirit. Verse 13, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who died in the Lord. For henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and from the work that followed them. You can try that boy to work every day. But I'm going to tell you something. Anywhere you go, there's work. And you say, like, work is following me. Work is following me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me in 2008, sister. When he spoke me this word, he will be born in 2009. So, anywhere you go, work will follow you. But if you die in the Lord now, you enter into his rest, no work for you. Hallelujah. You rest from your work. You rest from your labor. Hallelujah. Their works do follow them. The work follow us, Bangi. Everywhere you go on the earth, the work follow you. You can try to avoid it as much as you want. It follows you. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was with a plow in my hand all afternoon, this afternoon, working hard and while working, meditating, and thinking about the work that I used to do physical all the time. My brother, it's hard labor. Praise the Lord, but I don't run from it. Because let me tell you, I try running from work, and it always follow me. Praise the Lord, like the Bible says. Verse 14, and I look, and behold, there was a white cloud. And upon the cloud said one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and on his head a sharp sickle. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's going to get everything straight. Jesus is going to get everything straight. He's already working to get everything straight. He's been saying that to Sister Shirley through his prophet. He is working to get everything straight out. There's a lot of things here that need to be straightened out in the last days. He's going to establish his kingdom after the rapture is gone, after the church is gone. 7 years after that, he's going to establish his kingdom on the earth. And in those 7 years, he's going to set his enemies straight. Full prophet, the Antichrist, going to the lake of fire. And he's going to set everyone in place, everything straight. The Nephtalim, they're going to be loose, and they're going to be bound again and be set straight in a place that they don't want to be. Okay? And they're going to the throne of the white throne judgment later on to be in judge. But for that, Paul says in the Corinthians that we're going to judge angels. Some of us in the church are going to be in that white throne judgment. Jesus already told me I'm going to be there. And I wanted to be fishing on those days, but he wants me to be there. Okay, Lord, this is what we done. Let me tell you. People, we're going to see them being judged, going right in front of us, walking them in front of us. And from there, they're going to grab them and throw them in the lake of fire. Alive. My brother and sister. They're going to feel their clothing and hair being burned as they're dropping in there. My brother and sister. In a place that they've never been, they cannot imagine how intense the lake of fire is. I was there, and by the power of God, I was kept. But I knew that if God was not keeping me there in one piece, I would have just melted all over the lake of fire. That's how intense that fire is. My brother and sister, I remember saying that if people are taken there, now not anyone can be taken there. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you're there and you know the devil is going there, you pray for him not to end up there. That's how bad it is. Okay? You have to go there to understand what I'm saying. But once you're taken there, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You will be praying for them not to fall there. My brother and sister, that's how bad it is. It's really bad. Really, really bad. They cannot imagine. Themselves, they cannot imagine how bad it is. But now on their pride, they think that they're going to get away with anything. Not with Father. No one gets away with anything with Father. This is why the Lord is having nothing repenting. Repenting, repenting, repenting. Because if any of us decided to go do any wicked thing before the rapture, Father said, no, she's staying behind. No, he's staying behind. No one gets away with anything with him. That's why repenting is so important with us every day. A lot of people have not taken me serious on this. I don't know how more serious I can say it. No one can get away with anything with Father. My brother and sister, okay? And when he said, he's not coming, she's not coming, he has sustained the great tribulation, She has to stay in the straight tribulation. That's the way it is. No one gets away. Because he's giving people the opportunity now to get together with his son. Invite the son into his life and have him cleanse him and purify them and get him ready to come to heaven. If they don't do that because of their whatever excuse they have, they're staying behind the great tribulation and they are going to which they never been born on this earth through a woman, my brother and sister. They are people that are staying in the great tribulation are going to which they never been born. Like Job, they're going to curse the day that they were born. Why, Brother Elvie? Well, Revelation said that they seek death, but they will elude them. What does that mean? Let me give you a short explanation. It's so bad in the Great Tribulation. People are going through the worst so bad that people want to die every single day. They just want to die. They want someone to kill them. But it's not going to go how they wanted things to be. Okay? My brother and sister. Okay? The demons are going to make fun of people. Oh, you thought that I was just going to behead you and let you go, and you go into peace and rest? You got another thing coming. They're going to laugh in people's faces. It's going to be difficult. Now, I was taking the Great Tribulation a few months ago. I broke up a group of brothers and sisters that stayed behind. They were still having the church service. Through one of the back walkway into the church hallway, I saw a horrible demon coming in. The brothers and sisters had those doors really locked, even with steel or whatever. And the demon found a way and grabbed one of the brothers that they were meeting, having Bible study as they could, afraid, always watching. It was daytime, but it was dark. The sun would turn black and the moon blood. Remember that? And when I went in there, I believe the Lord was for me because the whole place of the meeting lit it up. And all they can see me and I can see them. Brother Lovie, what are you doing here? Some of them say they can recognize me. Brother Lovie, what are you doing here? If you're here, this have a meaning, someone said. And so the demon were coming for the brothers and sisters. And some of them would say, we need to run out of this place and hide because they're coming for us. And I said, who's coming for you? Well, the demon that comes out in the night, they're coming. They don't like to call them demon, they say they. Besides, they don't want to call them by demon, whatever, so they won't come quickly. I don't know what it is for people. People are totally in fear. And I said, why didn't you rebuke them? Oh, I said, was that easy, someone said. We tried everything, they say. You got a bunch of people saying, oh, do this, do that right now. They have no idea how bad the Great Tribulation is going to be. People in that room, they are Christians for many years. They tried rebuking them. They tried everything. Someone said, the last thing we needed to try was holy water, but nothing works anymore. Okay? So you can get an idea of what the people are going through there. They come and they take some of us, and we don't see them again. And I like it. Some of our ministers said there. Someone said, why don't we just pray? Pray, pray, keep praying together. Well, I don't know how much that's going to do, someone was saying. Someone made a comment. Because it was so difficult for them. I saw one of the demons grab one of the brother by the hand, and he was trying to fight up this demon. The demon was about 17 feet, 16 feet. And he grabbed him so strong by the hand close to the shoulder that it was kind of pulling the hand out of the socket, out of the shoulder. And the man was screaming for his life and decided to fight. He said, I'm tired of you doing this and that. I'm going to fight. And the demon was laughing and said, you're going to fight me? And took him quickly. And they were afraid. I tried to confront the demon. I was not there for that, but I said, you know what? I don't need to be afraid of him. The demon noticed I was in that part and they ran. Well, come back later. They knew. They recognize authority in the Lord when you use it. That's why if you keep rebuking them every day, come into your life, your house, they recognize authority. People that know who they are in the Lord and rebuke them, The demon says to one another, watch out with her, watch out with him. Last time we were there, they rebuked down to hell, and we had a hard time getting out of there. Oh, man, were we tormented, they say. They recognize authority. They recognize when a Christian bind them and rebuke them to hell every day with authority and the Lord, and they end up in hell, man, this time the devil stand them. They are careful. The other demons say, watch out. You're going to end up in hell again. Stay away. Keep your distance from that person. And they keep the distance. They're watching you, but they're keeping the distance. Just wait until they sin. You know, humans always sin. They get into these little sins that they think it's okay, and that's when you can get them. They talk with one another. You know? Oh, they'll gossip. People like to gossip. Get them when they're gossiping. That's when you know. And begin to work on their marriage in confusion between the husband and wife. Get them into argument. Have the husband say something harsh to her or to him. Watch how the anointing goes away. And we can get them this way. And they're planning and they're talking about it. And they're writing. I saw them writing an agenda. The devil had like a notebook. In that notebook, he was writing. So what do you see? And he was writing. He asked the other demon, so what do you see him do? What do you see her do? What did she say? And what did they do? Where did they go? What did they watch? And they're specific on the sin that people commit. And they write it down on the note. The devil said, all right, I'm giving you the note here, he said to the demons. I want you to go and do according to the notes I've given you about this person. This person, remember, you told me she gossiped. She liked this other guy. She was talking to this other man. They messaged one another. So remember, there's fornication here going on, okay? Even adultery. So you make sure that you keep that conversation between them. You provoke them. Provoke him, provoke her. And make sure you keep that communication there because the sin will be there. And you can use that against her, against him, okay? And the demon was following the instruction of the devil. As the devil was in that room there giving them instruction on how to attack this person, how to attack that person. Remember, you got to make sure they're committing these sins, okay? That they're not repenting, you know, they're committing these sins. Make sure that they're still practicing this sin, okay? And follow this, and the devil was writing in the note for the demon. Attack them this way. Attack them. Keep provoking this sin in their lives. In this way, you got them. It's easy, okay? But make sure they're committing these sins. And this is why the Lord is saying to us, repent, 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 my children. Because they are planning the attack against you and I by the sin that you and I are committing. Because the devil, when he accuses us day and night, he can only, like remember the Lord brought me, where the devil comes in the air to accuse us, not in heaven, in the air. And the devil came with two demons, and the Lord was there with his angels. I was standing beside the Lord, in front of the Lord, and the devil came, and he came to accuse Elvis Zapata, and I said, and I heard what he said to the Lord. I came to accuse your servant, Elvis Zapata. He committed this sin, and that sin. I have the information. This is what he did. He's talking like someone. He has all the proof, because he had demon watching us every day. But he forgot that I was repenting those sin already. Because he only watches you when you sin. When you're repenting, that's it for him. And I saw Satan accusing him before the Lord. My name clearly, Elvis Zapata. And he committed this sin and that sin. But I already have repented of sin. And the Lord says to Satan, you have no accusation against him. My son have repented of sin before me. And my blood shall cleanse him. You have nothing to accuse him of. And the devil right there, my brother and sister, you should have seen. You should have seen him. He was like, because he didn't have anything. And this is why the Lord brought me there to experience how the devil accuses us. He can only accuse us before the Lord, before he attack us, because he had to ask the Lord for permission before he attack us. But he can only do it when there is sin in our lives. When we have committed sin and not repented of sin, just gone to sleep. My brother and sister, And I was there listening to the whole conversation and learning of the Lord. Because he needs to come before the Lord in the cloud to accuse us with proof. And he always approved. The devil is an attorney in his own realm. He's the prince of this world, the Bible says. He's well knowledgeable. And when he sends his demon to watch someone, everything is done like when you are brought before court and they have proof against you for what you've done, and witnesses. The demons are the witnesses. They can be. And when the devil says, well, I send this two demon to watch your servant, and this is what she did, this is what he did. Because they bring the proof. They tell, this is what we saw. This is. And the Lord knows it's true, especially the person has not repented. And what do you want? I want to attack him. I want to attack her or him. And that cause is approved by the Lord again. Everything it is. And this is where people get mad at God. This is where people get angry. Why am I being attacked this way? Watch your life. Watch how you're walking. Watch how you're living. Are you repenting before you go to sleep in the morning when you get up? Are you living a life of repenting? Because if you're repenting day and night, like Daniel, like the disciple in the book of Acts, 3 times a day they pray, like Daniel, day and night. Nehemiah says he prayed day and night. Every one of God's servants in the Bible, the prophet, the apostle, everyone prayed day and night. They didn't went to sleep without praying. They didn't went to work without praying. They were very responsible for their life before God, their relationship. They made sure that when they repented, God forgiven them. They look for that forgiveness every day. They took responsibility for their sins and action every day. That's how Abraham lived a holy life. God said to Abraham, Abraham, be thou perfect before me. And Abraham lived a perfect life before God. Moses did. David did. These men repented day and night. Early in the morning, David said, I will seek thee. They make excuse for their sins. They repented. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, yes. Lord, I'm sorry if I said anything that was not of you tonight, Lord. Please forgive me. Jesus, please, Lord. Please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Lord. Cleanse all my bookkeeping record in heaven, Lord. Past, present, and future. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, of anything that is not of you, that I have said that is not of you, Lord, please forgive me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They repented. And the Lord, as an example, pray all day, all night long, Jesus did. And you see him praying for the sick. He prayed in the day too. Day and night. My brother and sister, the disciple 3 times a day in the book of Acts. My brother and sister, their life was totally committed to the Lord in repentance. Because when you repent, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness, which is sin that besieges us. Sin besieges us. You know who besieges you every day? Your enemies. Sin is our enemy. If sin besieges us, as the Bible says, the enemy is besieging you, is looking to kill you. Sin is looking to kill you every day, 24 hours a day. It's a sin that besieges us, the Bible says. So what do we do when you have an enemy that is looking to kill you 24 hours, that can be in your flesh, that can make your flesh your worst enemy? You don't go to sleep without repenting. You don't go out without repenting. Because you want to make sure that the blood of Jesus cleanses you. You take the armors of God in Ephesians 6:12. You take the armors of God every day. You put it on yourself. You put it on your children, on your family. You ask God to send billions and trillions of warriors, angels, archangels, around your house, around your family every day. You ask that the angel of the Lord, Psalm 34:7, will come around you, your family, your children. You ask the Lord to be your shield and your strong tower every day, every night. You pray it. You ask for it in Jesus' name. And the Lord is faithful. You dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. My brother and sister, hallelujah. You ask for warriors, angels, archangels. The Lord will send it to you. Hallelujah. You know what I asked last night for the love of God in my heart? One time I read that the love of God is put into a heart of the Holy Spirit. I asked for this in prayer. Man, when that was poured into me, my brother and sister, he began to pour this love in me. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. What an awesome hallelujah that was, that is. When he poured the love of God into your heart, the love of Father. Hallelujah. Why? Because love overcomes fear. And there's a lot of fear on this earth. When you feel fear, begin to ask the Lord. Begin to pray, Lord, please pour the love of Father in my heart through the Holy Spirit in me, Lord. Please, every day pray this because it doesn't run out. God is love. His love never runs out. Never, 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 never. It's on for all eternity and to all eternity. So don't be afraid to ask today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. Ask for the love of God to be poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Oh, my Lord, and that will cast out fear out of you. Fear will go. You will have peace instead of fear. Love casts out fear, the Bible says. Ask for it and watch fear goes away. You'll feel peace and love. Oh, my Lord. I'm feeling that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. He's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. My Lord, my God. He is good. And he is faithful. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask for it. And don't be afraid to lay hand on your sickness. Lord, heal me from this sickness. In Jesus' name, by his stripes, by his wound. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, hallelujah, where Lazarus, where everybody was crying, he broke crying too. I believe that when you pray and crying to the Lord, asking him for something, the Lord in his tender love is going to answer you, surely. Hallelujah. Ask him for the faith for you to ask. Lord, give me the faith to ask for my healing and for other people's healing. In Jesus' name, I ask. Lord, give me the faith. I repent now and unbelief. I'm sorry. Give me the faith to ask. In your name, Lord, for my healing. Heal me, Jesus, by your stripes, by your wound I'm healed. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he will not fail you and I. He'll do it. He'll bring us the healing. His healing power has no end, has no limit. We keep thinking in limitation in our lives. We keep thinking we're limiting God in our lives, in our mind, in our speaking, in our thinking. He's the Almighty. He can do all, any moment, any time, any hour. We are the one limited. And we limit God in our mind and heart, in our thinking. Lord, I'm sorry for limiting you in my mind, in my heart, in my thinking, Lord. Remove this curse. If it's a generational curse from my mother and my father's side, from their generational line, their ancestral line back to Adam and Eve, from first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation, I'm sorry, Jesus. I am sorry, Lord, for this curse. Lord, set my generation on the line free of the limitation of what you can do in our life. I'm so sorry. Lord, set me free. You came to set the captive free in Jesus' name. Watch what happened. Pray it. Do it. Action it in your life in prayer. If the Lord, hallelujah, will set you free. He came to set the captive free. Your thinking can be captive from your generational line. Came to set the captive free. Came to set you free. But you don't want to think this way, behave this way, act this way, walk this way, live this way, think this way, speak this way. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Here, Sister Celestial, the revelation the Lord's been giving her. Praise you. I'll be back Sunday. Brother Body will be on Friday. We may have Sister Carla tomorrow night. My brother and sister, sometimes she comes from work late to cook and to do things for her family. She may not have the time to come on the air. My brother and sister, it's hard for her. But pray for her. Keep her in prayer. Brother Body, Sister Brenda will be back on Friday, God willing. I'll be back on Sunday, God willing. If the trumpet has not sound, I'll meet you in the park in heaven, and I'll give you a hug in heaven. Amen. Remind me in heaven to give you a hug. In case I forget and I'm busy looking at the beauty of Jesus and eating cake and all that, if you see me so busy, call me out. Brother Ellie, come here. You said you were going to give me a hug. Give me a hug. Praise you, Lord. Amen. But I'm going to be very busy in heaven when I go with my children, with my family, and so many other things, my brother and sister, that I want to do in heaven when I go. I want to go and relax. I want to go and enjoy heaven, enjoy my Father, enjoy the Lord, His presence, and so much more. So I'm going to be busy with those things. So if you see me too busy, call me out for a minute and ask me for a hug, and we'll have a hug in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Today is the conclusion of the message that I began a day or two ago. This is a prophecy that is 3.5 years old from June the 20th, 2019, and it's called Cornucopia, but this part is separate. The first two parts that were covered were looking at God showing a behind-the-scenes look at how fivefold ministers, this is apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors, how they actually live behind the scenes, the amount of wealth, influence, and money that God naturally would grant these people by reason of raising them up, but then how that power behind the scenes has become gluttonous, it has become decadent, it has become severely abusive, and as this particular portion of the prophecy will show, it has become laced with sexual immorality. So just the fact that this prophecy is 3.5 years, it goes to show the length of time that God gives people grace. June 20th, 2019, up to now, is a very long time. And also, if we look at the multiple prophecies that I brought a few months ago against false prophets, you can really see how merciful God is and how long he bears with his people. Those false prophecy posts, God started giving me those things in 2014. So it was in 2014 that God started naming people like Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, and other people like that, and saying that he was going to observe them over a 10-year period, because they had already began to walk in unfaithful stewardship. And if they had not cleaned up their act in 10 years, he was going to judge them, and it was going to be the harsh judgment of death. The Lord was speaking about Benny Hinn this morning, speaking about Creflo Dollar, speaking about Joyce Meyer, and saying that he is extremely angry with these people, and he is certainly going to judge them with the judgment of death. Those things have already been covered. So here we are looking at things that when the Lord showed them to me, I must say, I was quite taken aback. Cornucopia profanity, June 20th, 2019. For the Lord is great and certainly worthy of praise. He is more awesome than all the gods. Psalm 96 and verse 4. And so to be profane in God's sight means that you have fallen away from everything holy. Profanity itself, as we know, the word profanity is just to use filthy language, uncouth language, dirty language. Profanity is something that defiles and is defiling in itself. So when you listen to profanity, when you look at profane images in pornography and in the movies and things like that, it is defiling to your eyes. It is defiling to your vessel. However, when profanity is coming out of someone, it defiles that person and it defiles the one that it contacts. And so this is something that God hates, because God has given us our bodies as our homes, as our vessels. It is the container for our souls and our spirits. But our bodies serve an even more important purpose. This body is the temple that the Holy Spirit longs to have communion with, that the Holy Spirit longs to indwell. The Lord Jesus said that he would come to the door and he would knock. And if any of us would hear the door and open the door, he would come in to where? This house, this vessel. And he would dwell with us. But when there is profanity among the leaders of the church, that profanity, as I've just described, transfers to the people. And pretty soon you will find that whenever a pastor is involved in fornication, involved in adultery, those spirits are not limited to him. This is something that I really wish that people would understand as they listen to these videos and just as they go about their normal Christian lives. This sin you indulge in affects those around you, even if they don't know that you are in sin. It affects your partner when you're having adultery. You think that because you're sleeping with someone else and your partner doesn't know about it, the spirits and the demons involved in that sexual immorality, involved in the evil and the wicked act of betrayal, they are tearing at the fabric of that marriage, even if your wife doesn't know, even if your husband doesn't know. If you are a child on drugs, you are bringing in very strong demons that go along with the weed or the other things or the crystal meth or whatever it is that you are using. You may think that you are hiding an infraction, but in fact, you are putting all the people who are linked to you by blood in danger, and you are putting yourself in danger. And this is why profanity is so defiling. It is defiling to the vessel that houses it. It is defiling to the vessel that it comes in contact with. And so when we defile ourselves and we are sexually immoral, we are telling God, I don't want you here. I don't actually want you in this vessel. I want to do certain things that don't involve your presence, that don't involve your influence. I want a life apart from you. And this is why the Bible says that out of all the sins, every other sin is committed outside the body. But sexually immoral sins are committed against this vessel directly, and we also sin directly against the Lord. And so this is the last part of the vision that I saw. I was in that majestic hall, and I had said that I had seen thrones, and two-thirds of the thrones were in the first part of the vision empty. And then as time progressed, the Lord showed me the vision again on the second day, and this time the thrones were full, and one-third of the thrones were still empty, as in they were for end times ministers that had not yet arisen to take their place. But now I can share things that I alluded to. I was in this hall, and people were sitting on these thrones, and these people were doing seriously debauched things. I've already gone into those things in excruciating detail, both for myself and for the listener, over the last 3 months in June, July, and August. Those were very difficult months, because those prophecies concerning sodomy in the church, homosexuality in the church, pedophilia in the church, what the leaders are doing, what the members are doing, it was just devastating to hear the Lord sharing his heart on those things, and I did my best to be as accurate with them as possible. But I saw fivefold leaders that the Holy Spirit had put in front of me, pastors, prophets, teachers, apostles, evangelists, and they were in different stages of nakedness and committing fornication, perversion, and adultery on these thrones that they were sitting in. And I mentioned that Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar were two that I saw. These are married ministers, and yet these are two ministers that I saw when other people were doing this stuff. Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar still had their clothes on. So I saw married ministers that were caught up with women and with men who were definitely not their spouses. And I saw people who were sitting on the thrones, and they were all wearing these robes, and some of the robes were just thrown open, and people were just doing oral sex on them. So they had these acolytes that were kneeling and just performing acts on them, and they were just leaning back. And it really did look like these people who were doing this to the people who were seated, it looked like they were, excuse me, please, it looked like they were praying to them. And it was just quite a negative sight to see. And God had put privacy dots on the faces of the people. So it's not as if the acts that they were committing were hidden from my eyes. There were dots on the faces of the ministers and dots on the faces of the people who were doing this. And sometimes it was men doing this to men, and sometimes it was women doing this to women. And sometimes it was a man with a woman or a woman with a man. And they were actually, some of them, committing fornication on the throne, same-sex fornication and opposite-sex fornication. And they were doing this. Please understand that the throne represents this seat of leadership that God has given you. God has made you a prophet. God has made you an apostle, an evangelist. These are fivefold ministry offices that are dear to the Lord's heart. Why? Because they are the visible expression, human gifts given to the Lord's body to steward his people, to build them up in his truth for the edification of the saints, which I already explained is to take the saints through rigorous crash dummy testing until they become strengthened. Why? Because the end of the life of every saint, unless you are taken out of here by an early death, is to go through the testing required of the end times before the coming of the Lord. And so when you are defiling yourself directly on this seat, which you did not call yourself to this office, you were called. The Lord said to Jeremiah that before I called you, I knew you. I knew you in your mother's womb, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This means that you do not even choose the calling that you have. You do not choose the gifts and the anointing that you have. They are divinely appointed to you. And when you are sitting in that seat, you are to treat it with the utmost reverence and respect, because the way you handle yourself in ministry is a direct reflection of respect and honor that you are giving to God. So to be fornicating while you are seated on that throne, same-sex fornication, no less, it is not a joke. And my heart, I really felt my heart turn to water and just drain as I was watching all this, because the Lord was right by me. His presence was right by me observing this. And he said, these people are enriching themselves at the expense of my people. They are literally calling forth the wealth of the nations in my name, but they have not worked for it. Now, calling forth the wealth of the nations is definitely this stuff that TBN is famous for, just saying, oh, no, the lines are open. The lines are open. Call in right now, you know, and just pledge your seed and pledge your gift. This is what it means. And people from all over the world are given an opportunity to sow into what they think, what they thought is a pristine ministry, a clean ministry, only to find that it is not. It is a defiled altar. The things that those people do there, it is beyond the pale. It is a mixing of the profane, the arcane relating to witchcraft and other things of that nature. And so people have put their seed on the defiled altar because these ministers call forth the wealth of the nations in the name of God, and yet the Lord says they have not worked for this. They are baseless shepherds who reap where they have not sown, and they milk my people just as surely as a farmer takes milk from the udders of his cows. And then the Lord says, look, they are even using the women for natural and unnatural use. And then I saw something which at this time of prophecy, this was the kind of thing that God was not in the habit of really showing me. I saw a man who was wearing a church robe. It was a black church robe with the usual church trimming. So, you know, the black robe, and then it will have purple here and purple at the sleeve with a very big, you know, and then purple running down both sides. This man had called a member of his church to come to church very early. So this woman was in the church, and I saw the clock, and the clock was, let's just say, a little bit before 6. And he had told this woman to come because he wanted to work out last-minute changes with her for the service that day. So it was a Sunday, and this man called the woman to the altar, and then he bent her over, and he sodomized her. And this woman was crying as this man was doing this to her, and he was doing it upon the place where the pulpit sits. And after he finished it, he walked away, and God was showing me by the man's demeanor, by his face, and what was in his heart, his sheer arrogance. He was doing this to this sister in the church just because he could. So I don't know what kind of power trip this man was doing on this woman. I don't know what kind of hold he had over her that she would have not reported it or said anything, but she was weeping as this man did this to her. And then when he was finished, he was so dismissive. He just hung his robe back and walked away. And as I was seeing in these visions of this prophecy, all these ministers were depicted as naked under their robes. So the only clothing they had, these ones in fornication, because Joyce Meyer was wearing a suit, for instance, Creflo Dollar was wearing a suit, so they were fully clothed. But these ministers involved in sexual immorality, they were all wearing robes, and none of them had any human covering underneath, which just goes to show that for many of these people, please listen, the sexual immorality that they are committing, the only reason you don't know about it is because God continues to cover them with the robe of his calling. The only reason it has not hit the press for many of them is because the cup of their judgment is not yet full, and God has still the office that they are in still covers them. If you want a biblical example for that, think of how Saul was rejected by God, and yet Saul ruled for many, many, many years, chasing David around, persecuting him, still running Israel. Nobody knew except David and those serving David, and Samuel, because Samuel was the one who told Saul, the Lord has rejected you this day, and he has torn the kingdom away from you and given it to one better than you. Nobody actually knew that God had cast Saul off. Saul was still walking around in the office and the mantle of a king, and yet he was not God's king. America, I hope you are listening. I hope you hear that there is precedent in the scripture for a person to be worshipped and loved by someone because of the office, and yet that person is defiled and rejected in the eyes of God. That person is not God's man. He is your man, and you are fooled by the fact that he held an office at one time, and so you think he is God's choice, and yet God continues to say repeatedly to me, and I will hammer the point home until you accept it, that that person that you are lifting up like a god towards the heaven is not God's man. He was never God's man. It was simply the covering of an office that gave the appearance that he was God's, but he was never the Lord's, because the Lord does not choose defiled things to use to represent himself. God is pure, holy, blameless, and that is what he looks for in leaders. So a lot of these people's sins, it simply has not come out yet, because the office has a type of spiritual covering in it. And as long as you sit in it, you can get away with a pile of junk and demonic activity until the day that God rips it forth. And that is when your total nakedness will be observed by the people who thought that you were faultless and blameless. So this man had brought this woman into the church early, and he abused her, and by the time he finished, I looked and the clock said 7 a.m., and it was now 3 hours that that lady had to put herself together, and it was one of those churches where they still put programs on the seats for the parishioners, the people who will come to church, and so she had that 3 hours until 10 a.m. to compose herself, and this man was in the habit of doing it to this woman, and God was showing me it's because he had power to do it. And then the Lord said, they exchange the natural use of the woman for unnatural. They exchange also the natural use of females for what is abomination among themselves. I hate the ones who do this, and I will not show them mercy if they do not repent. So exchanging the natural use of the woman is not sleeping with the woman in the place that God has provided her to receive seed and bring forth children, if that is the time for it. It is the practice of sodomy, anal sex. I already covered this, and I'm not going to go into depth of it at all. It is a reprehensible practice, and yet it is one of the fastest growing sexual practices in the Western world and everywhere else. I even wrote that during the things that God was showing me, doctors are beginning to complain about how many women in America are going to them for treatment because of what is called rectal tearing. Your daughters, your young daughters, God said that women in this country, the young and the older, the married and the single, are indulging this practice because this practice is seen as cutting edge. This is now the new avant-garde sexual act. It's where you venture when you really want the man to know that you are risque and wild and up for anything. And so even married people are indulging this, and God said it's unnatural, and this is mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 1. I think it is in verse 18. You really need to go and look at that. If you are caught in this thing, it is time to repent of it. Whether you are married or not, it is abomination before God, and you will be judged for it if you continue. And then God also said that the men are done with using women, and they are committing abomination among themselves. And then I saw two men who they were wearing church robes, but these robes were white, same robe with the big sleeves, and it had gold here and gold around the neck and two gold rods running down. And they were completely naked under their robes, kissing and touching one another and slipping their hands underneath the robe to touch one another privately under there. And they were giggling, and then God just removed me from that place. And then he said, next, they exchange the natural use. Natural use is adults in sexual activity. He said they leave that and they begin to do what is unnatural among children. And then I saw little children who were wearing choir robes in a very long line on a bench, a long line of children wearing choir robes, and all of the children were crying. And the Lord didn't say anything more about this, but when it's time for me to go into the child prophecies, and I've also covered quite extensively how children are being raped and molested this year, in I think it was May 2022, the Southern Baptist Convention was forced to bring out a long list of no less than 700 known offenders that they had been covering over the past 15 years. 700 pastors in documented cases of either raping or sexually molesting female adults, male adults, and a preponderance, meaning a large number of children in their churches. And instead of taking these things to the cops, the majority of them were dealt with by the church. And by dealt with, I mean going to sit at the victim's house, you, Deacon Brown, and Sister Pemberton, and talk to the victim and say, you know, the Bible says that it is an evil thing to take these matters to the unbelievers, and we should adjudicate these things within the church. And anyway, the church will crumble if the pastor is exposed. And anyway, he's seriously remorseful, and we hope you and your child can find it in your heart to forgive them. And this is how the church, like a donkey or a dog covering over its mess, kicks its back legs and covers all these reprehensible crimes instead of putting them into the hands of the authority so that the proper chain of events, the proper chain of authority can bring about some peace for these victims and justice for these pedophiles in the church, that the majority of you out there, I am not talking to true Christians, I am talking to the false tares who think they are Christians but love to support sin, sympathize with sin, pray for the deviants among us, and reject the testimony of the witnesses, reject the testimony of the victims, silence the victims, shame the victims, and tell them that they're trying to get a money grab. The church itself is reprehensible in many things. There's severe abuse of children, severe abuse of female and male members. But for the sake of ego and for the sake of perpetrating and propping up a rotting edifice, these pastors have been getting away with these things. And God says all of this is exchanging of the natural for the unnatural. God is acknowledging that even he has a natural order, and his church seems to hate that order. The Lord says that they exchange when they should be praying and fasting and begin to do what is not natural: opulence, greed, and fattening themselves. And I saw the word turning in the air again, cornucopia. These people perform sexual acts before me, in my very presence. They do these things as if I cannot see or hear. I even hear how they muse in their heart before a thing is done, my child. God means that when you are sitting in church and the pastor is lusting over you and trying to come up with a fake Bible study that he wants to tell your mother to bring you for so he can start grooming you, God says that he sees the footsteps of these men and women who commit perversions in his face, sometimes on his altar, as if he can't see or hear. He says he sees the plottings of their heart before they do anything. He says some of them defile themselves by the altar, next to the altar, maybe in the choir stand or maybe wherever else. And he says some of them do it on the altar because they do not hallow me. They do not fear me. And their hearts are like the back of a turtle. I cannot reach them, and so I will remove them from my sight. I will cast them from my presence, some into obscurity, but some of them into a horrible pit. They have defiled me. Again, profanity. The one who commits profanity defiles themselves, but defiles others connected to themselves. And Jesus is saying, when you come into covenant with me, you are mine and I become yours. And the sins you commit defile me. They defile me, so I will reject them. And I will make for myself new scribes. This is new servants. Faithful scribes. Who will hallow me? This is have the fear of the Lord and be respectful and hallow God. It means to set him apart from all others in your heart. They will hallow me and they will portray me the right way to the people. And so I saw that some ministers had already died because of fornication and sexual sins. And I saw one throne that was empty. This was a previously occupied throne that was now empty. And the name written above that throne was Zachary Timms. And as I looked at that throne, I could feel that there had once been vibrant life in it, but now the throne felt as if it had been strongly vacuumed. And the presence and the life of the man who had sat there was gone. And now the seat was still and empty. And I saw another throne in that room that was empty. Please understand that the empty seats will be taken by new ministers. But that minister had not sinned because of sexuality. And I saw that just like T.D. Jakes, God had really loved this man. But the Lord told me, and this is a direct quote, that his cause of death was because he grasped the horns of the altar incorrectly and God struck him for this. And that was Minister Miles Monroe. To grasp the horns of the altar incorrectly simply means that you will see all the ordinances of God, you will see the laws of God, the rules of God, how God wants things to go, and then you will let go of holding on to God's presence, God's words, God's calling, God's anointing, and you will let go and begin to approach God's things with perversion, with leaven. God struck Miles Monroe because he leavened the gospel. He began to preach a false gospel, blatantly telling lies in the gospel, and that is why the Lord let him go. And a light was shining on his throne, so there was no light on Zachary Timms' throne. Zachary Timms' throne was exactly as if, you know when something is lit and then someone just comes and goes, click, you can see the shape of the thing there, but it's not lit up. But the throne of Miles Monroe had a little light shining on it, and it had a hushed demeanor about it, the way you would preserve the grave of a loved one that you really, really like. And then I saw the thrones of the people who were fornicating, that their thrones were actually alive because they were living and still sitting on them. The thrones of Pastor Zachary Timms and Minister Miles Monroe, they were dead. But the thrones that had living people sitting on them fornicating, the thrones themselves were alive, but the thrones were actively decaying. So I saw them. They were beautiful, as I described in the first video. They were beautiful and alive, but at the same time, they were decaying and rotten, stinking, spiritually rotten. And that is it. And so God was showing me the state of leadership in the church today. He was showing me the state of how things are for our reproof, that we, the church, we those who are not these leaders, not these fivefold, that we will look and we will draw a lesson from the way these people are bastardizing their call before God. There's no other way to put it, because God says that he chastises every son that he loves, but if you will not submit to godly discipline, which means that if you are in fornication, perversion, homosexuality as a minister or even as a member of the church, and you still think that you can walk in these things, it means that you are not submitting yourself to the truth of God's word, which means that God cannot discipline you because you are like a donkey that wants to walk in your own way. And that means that you are a bastard. Who is a bastard? One to whom we do not know the father. This is the old term for a child whose fatherly origin was not known. And this is what the KJV says, that if God cannot discipline you, if he cannot chastise you and correct you as a son, then you are a bastard, one without a father, meaning that God is not your father. And we all know if God is not your father, no matter what you say as an atheist or as a seeker or as a Baha'i or anything else you want to call yourself, it means you are without God as the father, and that only leaves one other choice, Satan. And so, a large house carries not only gold and silver vessels, but also wooden and clay ones. Some of these vessels are kept for special use, but others are for common use. If anyone cleanses himself from what is unfit, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 to 22. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5 and 24. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, for this amounts to idolatry. Colossians 3 and 5. Thank you for being with me. This is the state of the church. This is the state of God's house. It needs to be said. Remember that I said that because of covering over the dirt in our midst and constantly making excuse for wickedness by talking about, oh, but let's pray for them to be restored, oh, but let's cover them in prayer, I personally am sitting here and I'm telling you that I'm not covering anyone with nothing. Whoever the Lord has condemned, I'm not going above his head to tell him, Lord, let's give it one more shot. And that includes America. That includes the United States of America, whom God condemns, whom God has said enough, no more. I, for one, will not be found trying to dart around him like someone trying to cut someone off on the highway and say, oh, but I know better than God. I know better than God. Let me go ahead and cut him off. Hear what he said. Their hearts are like the back of a turtle. I cannot reach them, so I will remove them from my sight. Who born of a woman, and that includes the Nephilim, who are stronger than men, they also were born of women. Who born of a woman can stand up and say, oh, I know how to reach them, God. Just because you said that you can't reach them, you don't know the plans I have for them. I have plans to show them goodness and a purpose. When God says, I can't reach someone, this one is no more fit for use, so I will get rid of it. One of the words the Lord said this morning, and these are just prophecies that keep coming and coming and coming. I'm not going to write them on the blog. One of the things he said this morning is, tell them that my wind is coming. Tell them that my wind is coming and I'm going to blow all the empty vessels away. Just a moment, please. The Lord said that his wind is coming and he's going to blow away all the empty vessels. Who are the empty vessels? People who are not rooted and grounded in God's truth. People who are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. People who are naked but covered with an apparent robe of authority. Anyone who names the name of God and yet is false, you are the empty vessel. There's nothing in you. And God continues to say in these prayer calls, I have no need of so many people clogging the atmosphere. And I was reading in Jeremiah 4 this morning. This is where he woke me up very early and took me to. And one of the things that it says at the end of Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah is lamenting because Jeremiah is standing at a particular point in time and looking ahead and saying, the earth is desolate. The earth is desolate. The earth is without a man. And he's speaking of a time when trials, tribulations, difficulties, and just the killing machine of the beast system that is coming is going to take away so many souls. In one of these prayer calls, it's already up, God said that the time is coming when the church will lose its life, not even because those members of the church that lose their life have sinned or done anything. He simply said, it is a time of wickedness, my children. It is a time of gross unfairness. It is the time of the beast. In those times, people will lie on true Christians. They will report them for Bible reading and trying to worship wherever. They will be hunted down by this beast system. People will lose their life, not even because they deserve it, because they are sinning, but just because it is the evil of the time. Satan's 15 minutes of fame. He also said, tell them that the sinners will be cleansed from the land. Now, these are the people who will not stop their immorality, who will not stop their wickedness. One of the things the Lord spoke of is the immodesty of dressing in the earth. This urge to show every single part of your naked body so people can call you a queen and a diva and a goddess. Queens and divas and goddesses need to be warned that God is not interested in all that funk. He will judge people who walk in immodesty, people who live in immorality very harshly. God has been warning about these things since 2019, and these prophecies are very old, that there will be very harsh penalties for same-sex lifestyles, for trans lifestyles, for all the different lifestyles, either direct punishment coming from the hand of God himself, or he will allow circumstances to punish people so much that, as he said in the prophecy, Adam, my Adam, he said to men who are in same-sex relationships, when you are dying, your family will stand there and watch you die, and they will feel, you will feel the pain that you are dying, and they will feel the pain that they stood there. They did not correct you. They did not attempt to fight for your soul, but they were just telling you, we love you, Connor. We support you in whatever decision you want to do. So these are the words of the Lord. The church is in a terrible state, and I think the worst part of the church's terrible state is that she is like the world, and she continues to insist that reckless love would never let her get into a terrible state. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye.